It is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis. Up for another day of broadcast insolence.
Happy Friday. Bro, you seem like you're in a good mood today.
I'm ebullient.
Yes. Good for you.
Well, it's a Friday.
Yeah, you got the Friday feeling.
It's a Friday feeling. It was an interesting week. You know, every week we go through that thing where on Friday we go, oh, you remember that thing happened last month? And then someone goes, well, that was Monday.
Exactly.
Right?
So, last week.
So we've gotten kind of used to what that's
Well,
like.
Think about the Manafort and Cohen situations. Both came down during this broadcast, you know?
Yeah.
One with the pleading and the other in the
guilty. Does that seem like it was a month ago?
It does.
Yeah.
Two days ago, right?
Wednesday? Tuesday, right?
It was a Tuesday.
Tuesday,
moments apart.
Gosh.
Yes. That had to be a moment right there at the White House where they're all looking at their TVs. And they knew it was likely that Manafort was going to get convicted. But then it was the idea of in the same hour.
Yeah.
And then not just pleading, they'll go, well, it's a non-cooperator agreement. And then they find out that it's not that he's not cooperating. They've wrapped up everybody else around him, including, just announced today, the CFO, Chief Financial Officer for the Trump Organization, who's now cooperating, has been given immunity in exchange for his cooperation. Now, imagine what he knows.
Imagine.
Now, the question then becomes, though, and I think this is where we really run into something, is what is the mandate of Mueller? And I'm sure that there are going to be some defenders of the president who are going to step up and go, well, that, you know, what he did at the Trump Organization or how they did their business has nothing to do with Russia. Well, I mean, on its face, that may be true, may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
But the other piece of that is, Mueller could try to string it based on Michael Cohen's attempt to get a Trump Tower Moscow.
Yeah, you wonder if it has something to do with real estate deals that could be tied to Russia as a way in. It'll be interesting. It'd be interesting. It certainly doesn't seem like you need to tie up the CFO, longtime CFO, who Trump's father hired in order just to get Cohen.
Right. Or do you?
Or do you? We got to ask Mike Monaco that later when he's on the program.
I'm trying to think who's going to be on the show. Let me tell you, the show. I almost said something bad. Mr. Skilling's going to be joining us here in just a few minutes. We also have a doctor who is going
to
be joining us. What?
Are you going to talk to him about all your ailments, or
no,
are you just going to keep this very focused?
No, I'm going to keep it focused because want to talk a little bit about John McCain and the announcement today that, and people who have had members of their family who have suffered from cancer, any form of cancer, they know what this moment is like where they decide that they're no longer going to treat it and just let nature take its course. And we'll talk a little bit about, what that decision is, what all of this is. And then, obviously there will be plenty of time in the aftermath of this to discuss John McCain's legacy. But I think it does, it at this moment, at the end of this week specifically, talking a little bit about honor and duty is an important thing to do. And John McCain, I think, represents for the United States and for the United States military, the United States government, his most beloved United States Navy.
Yes.
He is basically the sinecure of duty and honor in America. And he was not easy to get along with. A lot of people who knew him and fought against him politically or whatever the situation was, they always said, that son of a, because he was tough, and he was tough with his friends and his family and all of that at times. And listen, I think there are people who believe that about Donald Trump, that he's tough, but he's effective. But I think there's a big difference in terms of John McCain and trying to do the honorable and right and honest thing most of the time. And I'm not imbued by the same optimism when it comes to the president. So,
well, he was given 12 to 14 months when he got the diagnosis, and he's
outlived that. Right. So, he has, because he's that guy,
a fighter.
Yeah. So we will we'll talk about that. All right. Let's talk to Tom Skilling coming up after Judy Podlyk tells us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Hurricane Lane battering the islands.
Oh, I don't like that either. That's my second home.
Lots of water.
Well, there was always lots of water there. That's one of the reasons.
I know.
Yeah. All right, Violetta, why don't you do the traffic for us?
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
And after 4 o'clock, your chance to rip us off for a pair of tickets. See Billy Joel at Wrigley Field September 7th. It's Billy's fifth consecutive year playing Wrigley. And there are still a few tickets left at Cubs.com/Billy Joel. All right. Tom Skilling being brought to you by Perma Seal Basement Systems.
Hello, Ro.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Anna.
Hi, Tom. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. Isn't that? Is there any other kind? I don't know.
This one feels especially good.
It does.
That's a good one. I like this one.
Mm-hmm. It does. I know.
I like this one.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
It's been a week. Mm-hmm. It's been, there's a lot going on.
It's kind of exhausting.
It really is. I'm very, very much looking forward to putting my feet up.
Yeah.
And avoiding all things related to anything, including the Sunday morning shows. I'm taking a week off the Sunday morning shows.
Are you really?
You know what has happened here?
What?
Can I just tell you what's happened?
What's happened?
You turn on the network newses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, the people aren't showing up for work. There must have been a strike or something at CNN. There isn't this. I don't recognize a single anchor there today.
They have to take a break, too, don't they? I mean, they get a week off in the summertime or something.
Well, Fridays in cable news land are often recorded on Thursdays. Not the news shows, because that would be...
That'd be wrong.
You'd need predicting skills that are pretty good there. But but the talk shows, you know, like O'Reilly never worked on a Friday. I think most weeks of the year he'd never worked on a Friday. Hannity, Anderson, all those guys would record the Friday night show on Thursday. And what's really interesting, if you're homesick and you have to watch the Friday night show, you watch it and you'll notice that it's really generic.
That's true.
It's really general.
No time references or anything like that.
Well, what do you think the future of the Republican Party or maybe the Whigs are? I'm not sure who would be, or Democrats.
You know, one thing though, Ro, with all this breaking news we've had in recent months, I find that, some of the stations seem to staff themselves pretty well because they're always wondering what they're going to hear before
I think more so now than they have been.
Yes, I agree with you.
But
I agree.
But, like, as a matter of fact, today at CNN, John King, who does that show in the middle of the day.
Sure.
He's good with that board during the election, right?
Yes.
He moves all the numbers around.
Yes.
He's that guy, right.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And they had to get in on the John McCain news because so many people
in the
news business who work in Washington have known John McCain.
Yeah, in fact, I was on watching Fox News at the time that the announcement came through and the anchors broke down in tears. I mean, it was very personally, emotional for them.
I saw a picture today. They stayed away from that, showing pictures, but he looked pretty stressed. There's
not
no
well.
Question about it. No, he did not look well.
Yeah.
And,
He is, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on this hour, but he is still alive, but obviously they announced today that they're going to be taking him off of any form of chemotherapy. He's now just in palliative care, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And his legacy and what he means, and also what this all means medically too. We're gonna investigate that coming up in just a few minutes. But
you know, haven't we seen public figures like that approach this critical juncture in their lives with grace and dignity? You know,
yeah.
I'm thinking about Reagan and his comments before he left the public spotlight about the onset of Alzheimer's, and that was a beautifully written.
And John also, Senator McCain also said some amazing. We're going to play that in the top five at five. What, you know, the sort of the audio postcard that he's left us.
Yes.
About life and his experience and all that, which is a beautiful thing because it waits for all of us, right?
It sure does.
And to be able to have a moment where you can stop and say, thank the world for this amazing run. And he did. He, you know, suffered the worst a human can and exalted it at the very top of what humans can do. And so he really has had an amazing life and had an amazing impact on America. I want to ask you, though, speaking of all of that, because this is significant, Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you very famously saw, you know, when he came off that plane in Hawaii.
Yes.
You know, after he was no longer a POW. That's this hurricane is really kind of barreling, right?
Yes. It's hit the Big Island, and especially the upslope areas on the west end of the island with particular fierceness. You know, it'll be interesting. The rain totals vary widely, but here's one at 36.98 inches in the last 40 hours. At Hakalau, I believe that's the pronunciation, Saddle Quarry over there, 36.9 inches. These are all kind of on the west end of the island. Hilo and that area in there have been so hard hit. Mudslides and all the rest. Maui, sections
Well, Hilo's on the east end, right? Hilo's on the southeast.
The east end, yeah. Yes. I'm sorry. I always have east and west mixed up out there.
Yeah, that's true. The water's
easy to do.
Right, the water is on the... the water's everywhere there. Well, you're never quite sure.
I think of the winds, you know. Our prevailing winds often come in from the west. Theirs coming from the east, and so I associate whatever the direction
so
the wind's coming from the west.
The east part is what really got
you. You're right.
Near a volcano, near where you were, where the volcano is.
You've got Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa. I mean, these are 13,000-foot-plus mountains. And, of course, that flow comes in with a hurricane. And even though the core of the storm didn't go over the islands, it stayed offshore. The moisture flow with these things is just incredible. And if you have a wall of granite lifting this, which is what happens when these winds blow off the Pacific, loaded with moisture, the prolific nature of the rainfall is indescribable. So you really get hit. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. The last hurricane to hit there was a Nikki that hit in 1992. It went into Oahu, and it even interfered with the filming of... the Steven Spielberg movie, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And that area...
They used some of that for it.
Yeah.
Some of the rain scenes. Hey, I know we're short here, but in terms of Honolulu, that seems spared.
Yeah, they've gotten wind, and they've had squally weather, and they'll continue to get that. The storm is encountering shear now, so you'll see the wind velocities continue to come down fast. But this thing is going to keep producing localized heavy rains in the favorable areas through the weekend. So
it'll still be there and beautiful next week.
It will.
All right, here for the weekend, we've got rain tonight.
Yeah, there'll be some thunderstorms rolling in late tonight. A couple of these could be interesting, but the big story is the building back of heat and humidity. So 88 tomorrow and 93 on Sunday. Probably little chance of rain tomorrow. You might pop an isolated thunderstorm later in the day in part of the area. But, if you got outdoor plans, most of the day is going to be great. And the same is true Sunday, but late in the day Sunday. Again, there could be some pretty good storms coming in.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Have
Tom.
A great All summer right. weekend, guys.
Thank you. You too, Tom.
Thank you, bro.
All right. Let's check in with Judy coming your way with the news in 2 minutes. Oh, no, we're going to her right now. Stand by, people. I've just been told.
This just in.
Judy Pilak now has the WGN News being brought to you by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Dr. Adam Sonnabend from Northwestern is joining us right now, and he is assistant professor in neurological surgery at Northwestern. And the news today that Senator John McCain is suspending treatment for brain cancer. And now this type of cancer that he has starts in the brain, right? This is a specific cancer. Some brain cancers come from other parts of the body, metastasize to the brain. This is one that actually starts there, right?
Yes, that's correct. This is the most common kind of cancer that starts in the brain in adults.
It's very aggressive is the way the family described it. Is that how you would look at this medically? They said he's outlasted what they had expected that he'd live.
Yeah, so it is a very aggressive cancer, unfortunately. You know, within this cancer, there's different versions of it, and every individual might have slightly different performance. Some of the main things that determine how long people will live depend on the age, the molecular makeup of the tumor, where it's located, and the treatments that they get. Mm-hmm.
So originally when they went in, they thought it was pooled blood that they were going for. Is that typical of when you're going in to find something that you've only seen radiologically, are you kind of thinking in the back of your head that, you know, this could be this as well? And was that a surprise to them when they found this as a tumor, do you think?
Well, so I will admit I was not there, and I have no personal information about this case. But in general, glioblastomas are tumors that can bleed, mm-hmm. can present in that setting. There's also tumors that can often cause blood clots elsewhere in the body. And I think this is how this was diagnosed, if I'm understand it correctly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are philosophical reasons why families would just make this decision to not move forward. And I would imagine that's a family's decision to say, hey, we're going to end the treatment now at this point. But typically, what would a patient be looking at when it really would be appropriate for a family to make that decision?
Yeah, so it's very important as physicians never to make a judgment on what's appropriate or not, right? Every individual is a human being, and it's very important to really consider patients' wishes. And often, more often than not, when you diagnose somebody, they're still with it, and they can think about this. And this is the time to sit down with the family mm-hmm. and establish clear directives that are derived from the patient. Now, when do people stop treatment? It's a very personal decision. I think as long as people have quality of life and there is a particular treatment that might be effective, it's totally legitimate to pursue that. But on the other hand, if somebody's lived a long life, they're satisfied with it, and their quality of life suddenly is no longer making much sense,
mm-hmm.
aggressive treatments might not be the best. Now, stopping treatment, it's a way to think about this. There's treatments that are focused on comfort, getting the patient as comfortable as possible, versus treatments that are focused on prolonging somebody's survival. So I don't know if they're stopping treatment. I don't know anything about the case versus just not really focusing on prolonging survival versus getting him comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Right. It sounds like it's the latter there, based on the way that the family is talking about this on social media and in this press release that was let a little earlier today.
Right.
And that they're basically treating this as sort of a last statement from the family prior to his death. And so I'm assuming, based on that tone, that mm-hmm. it's probably palliative care, right? As that's what they call that when you're just trying to make somebody comfortable at the end.
Sure.
And in a moment, it's almost impossible, because I know a lot of people are trying to play a guessing game here about you know, well, how long will this be? I know that in our business, as yeah. ghoulish as it is, they set up, you know, they're trying to figure out how they're going to move assets around to cover this story. And there's really no way to truly know here, right? I mean, there's, because patients, it's all, and he's known for his tenacity. He's known for his toughness. He's already outlived this diagnosis. I guess for all of us who, you know, care about him and care about humanity, you just want to be comfortable.
Correct. I will stress that I'm a neurosurgeon. I take care of these kinds of patients up front, and I often get the question of how long do I have to live. I really don't believe in telling people this. It's not the right approach. Unfortunately, this is not necessarily a curative disease, a disease you can cure, but different people live for different lengths, and we as doctors have no crystal ball.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell somebody how long they're going to live, that's based on an average, and everybody is an outlier when it comes to these. And it's very important to never kill somebody's hope.
Yeah. But at his age, 81, would that be a major factor here in terms of some kind of experimental treatment or having some options that you might otherwise consider if you weren't at an advanced age?
Yeah, you know, this is a very important point. We are very invested in developing new treatments, which are experimental at this stage. Some of these are very promising. Some of them involve treating patients during the operation, delivering specific drugs or viruses into their brains. And some of these might offer a lot of hope. They're just experimental. We don't really know mm-hmm. how they will impact survival. For these diseases, I encourage every patient to try to find a trial, a study where they can actually investigate whether this is going to help them for two reasons. One is because different people might respond differently. What we know about these tumors is based on the conventional treatments, not the new treatments. And the other thing, this is...
Pardon me for interrupting, doctor, but the one thing that we know for sure also is that the conventional treatment is just basically, it doesn't cure the disease, right? There is no cure at the moment, and that's why these trials are important, to see if they can unlock that key.
That is correct. I will start by saying the standard of care for these patients involves surgery, radiation, drug called temozolomide, And very recently, the development of something called tumor treating fields, where you put electrical fields to destabilize this tumor cell growth. All these treatments are very important because they do maintain the quality of life and make people live longer as a whole. Unfortunately, so far, they haven't really cured anybody. Now, there are people who are outliers and survive for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that virus that you're talking about. There is a lot of science now developing, and this is all, much of it is coming out of this decade alone, right, in terms of treating, using other pathogens or things we would think about as bad things to try to go treat these because they can attack those cells in a specific way, right?
Yeah, this is very exciting, in fact. And some of these studies are actually first done in humans at our institution. We're very, very excited.
At Northwestern?
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. In particular, I'll tell you, there's several trials that are using different kinds of viruses. And these viruses were commonly found in nature, but they have been engineered to only replicate and kill tumor cells, but spare the rest of the brain.
Wow.
And what's even, for instance, very interesting is there's the use of stem cells to carry these viruses to find the tumor cells within the brain. There's several things that are being tested that are very interesting, very promising.
Wow.
We don't know whether they're going to work to prolong survival. These are the studies we're currently doing.
How do people, if they have if someone listening right now has a loved one dealing with cancer, aggressive or not, how would they find out about these sorts of trials that you're talking about? Is there a go-to resource that you could suggest?
Well, so it's very important for patients to always be connected with an academic center and where people are essentially aware of these things. Clinical trials are tricky in the sense that every trial has very specific patients they're looking for, and not every patient will qualify. They also have limited space. So it's very important to always be at a place where there's several of these connected and institutions talk to each other. We get patients from elsewhere because they have a good patient who will qualify for one of these studies and whatnot. So it's very important to be connected with academic institutions, particularly with a diagnosis of cancer.
Yeah, yeah. And we're very lucky to have Northwestern here.
Yeah, we are.
No question about that.
We are.
Doctor, thank you very much. We really appreciate your time. I know this is it's a difficult subject. I know it's what you do every day, and thank you for doing what you do because, you know, we thank ourselves a lot in our business for things, and all we're here is making people either mad or laugh, and you're actually saving lives. So thank you so much for doing that. Dr. Adam Sadabend from Northwestern University right now. Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
If Rover bites, it'll also take a bite out of your wallet in Illinois.
I'm working on it, trying to figure that out. If
take a minute.
Yeah, I'm gonna. It's gonna take me more than a minute. Violetta,
right.
Why don't you try
the weekend?
Yeah, I might have to. Violetta,
the Northwestern Wildcat season is upon us. So Coach Fitz will join the Steve Cochran Show Monday morning at 7:10. Go Cats!
Go Cats!
Go Cats!
Big deal.
Kind of a big deal. Really
a very interesting season in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I think we might surmise. The Big Ten East, I think, might be a little up for grabs here. I don't know what Ohio State's going to look like. Although Urban Meyer, mm-hmm. I must say that the penalty that came down for Urban Meyer doesn't really impact football operations all that much.
No. Was it four games?
Three games, but he's allowed to start coaching, not game day coaching, but coaching the team after week one of his suspension.
Oh.
And the first two are cupcakes. The third one is at on neutral ground at Cowboys Stadium against TCU. So that one should be a little interesting.
I think
they'll be fine.
I think they'll be fine against TCU.
Yeah.
Oregon State is the opener at Columbus.
Yeah.
And they generally do have cupcakes, and they take MAC teams. So, and it's not even the good MAC teams. Sometimes it's like Central Western Michigan, or it might be Iowa. We're not sure. You know, it's like that kind of a university.
It's like a club football team.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that the Michigan fans and the coaching staff always used to complain about. Bo Schembechler used to complain about that ad nauseum, that Ohio State would always take two games off in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
so that they would have two easy wins. And Michigan always wanted to, you know, take on, who was number one last year? Who was number one? You know,
doesn't seem quite fair.
Yeah, I'm being very critical of my own people at Ohio State, but I think that it's an interesting year. This program's a little rocked anyway because the whole athletic department's been rocked, and that does flow downhill. Although Michigan is not really in particularly great shake.
No. Northwestern has Meet the Team night tonight.
Yeah.
Ryan Field. So,
but in the West, Wisconsin going to be great, and I think Northwestern's
Iowa's always there.
Yeah, Iowa's there. But I think Northwestern's going to be a better. Although Iowa, they have they've got a new quarterback, right, and they got mm-hmm. this beefy line always. They literally put actual real steer in the line.
They eat corn while they're playing. A bunch of corn-fed boys from the country.
Yeah, guys have horns on their helmets, you know, like actually on their horns are coming through their helmets. It's really a thing.
They do a lot of local recruiting. Is that one of
they do a lot of yeah. You know what they do? It's interesting. They recruit in, you know, Iowa, obviously. Texas is a big recruiting state for them, mm-hmm. as it is for all of football. And Nebraska, because they want to steal from Nebraska. And, you know, it
makes sense.
It's kind of an interesting rivalry right there.
I think the West will be Wisconsin or Northwestern.
I think so, too. It's
come down to those two teams.
And I'm very glad that we no longer have to call them the leaders and the legends, as they did.
Yeah,
it was so confusing.
Well, wasn't it blue and black and then leaders and legends?
Yes. Oh, it was like, can we just go east and west? Because we'll figure that out. And they'd set them up east and west.
Right.
Right? Because now, you know, the Big Ten goes all the way to the east. It goes to New Jersey on the east.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska on the west.
Right.
So, and eventually it's going to go, you know, there's going to be four conferences in the country, and that's going to have everybody in it.
The East, man, that Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State, all those teams are looking to have pretty good years this season. Yeah. The East is tough.
The East is stacked.
Yes.
Right. But they're stacked, and there's a lot of confusion. Who's my daddy? There's a ton of who's my daddy in the East right now.
We're less than a week away, by the way, from Northwestern's opener. Thursday at Purdue.
Right.
Cats Boilermakers.
Right. That's the first day of college football, right, is next Thursday.
Yes, yes.
It's that this weekend, NCAA figured this out. They make that Labor Day weekend
mm-hmm.
just all college football.
I love that.
Because when you turn on the TV, it's almost like bowl season, right? You know, like the traditional old bowl season.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a little confusing.
Then we got high school football tonight. Some great matchups in the area. Looking forward to that.
Does it start tonight?
Starts tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
When football starts, though, you know what that means? Summer's almost over. Sorry, Ro. It's just coming to my... Well, you're allowed to say it every day.
And we got mid-90s.
I say it. I don't
want
to hear
it. Good. Summer's well and alive.
Yeah. It's going to be 90s.
Okay.
It's going to be 90s.
Forget I said that.
Okay. Thank you. I will.
Strike that.
I'm going to do my best. All right. Let's see here. We got Sweet Lou. Speaking of sports.
Yeah.
Sweet Lou Kanellis is going to be joining us coming up, talking about the Bears. Bears, they're the only game that really counts in the preseason is tomorrow night.
Yeah, because the fourth game is going to be sort of.
The fifth grade, the game in their case.
No starters.
No starters. Yeah.
Tomorrow,
right?
You're going to see the starters for a good amount.
They're going to be here. They finally get the first time at Soldier Field this year.
Yeah.
This season.
Will we see Roquan?
Doubtful.
Talk to Sweet Lou about that. Don't get ahead of this.
I'm excited
Classic
about
radio
watching
tease.
Them.
There you go. Classic radio tease. Thank you. All right. We've got that. And then also in the 4 o'clock hour, we have Billy Joel tickets. We got the last pair of Billy Joel tickets. We actually stole them from our boss right out of his desk.
I thought we already gave away the last pair.
No, we did. Yeah.
And then we found another pair.
They thought so too. And now, right now, Todd Manley's going through his desk going, where are my Billy Joel tickets?
Sorry, Todd.
Yeah, so we're gonna give them to you. And Mike Monaco is going to be here to talk about the CFO of the Trump Organization cooperating with the feds. What does this mean? If I'm Donald Trump, I get an Air Force One and go, what country doesn't have extradition? Fly there now. All right, all that coming your way. But first, Judy's News in two short little minutes. Bro Concha with Anna DeBlantis right here at 720. Sweet Lou Kanellis has just stepped into the studio.
Is that why we have the dance music going on?
Unch, unch, unch.
Dance with Lou.
Have you ever, you know.
Friday dance party.
For people who know and love Lou from Fox Chicago, Fox 32. What do we call that now? Fox 32.
Fox 32, right? Chicago.
Fox 32 Chicago. He's Fox Sports. He's Mr. Bear. I mean, there isn't anything that he doesn't touch that the Bears
do
on Fox 32. It's all local. There he is. He wears the big orange tie with the big knot. You know, on any Sunday morning you're watching, then Sunday night, Hampton is already sweaty. And is Hampton coming back this year?
No, he's not.
He's not? All right. Well, Hampton would
Thanks
be coming back. Who's coming back this year?
Jim Miller.
Former Bears quarterback, Jim Miller.
Nice.
He's on the preseason call.
Yeah. Yes. He's really good.
He knows his stuff, man. Yeah. But, you know, what he does is he hosts a daily talk show for the NFL on Sirius Radio. Oh. So He lives and breathes it, and he's terrific, man.
He's a great personality.
You know what? I loved Jim Miller as a quarterback. You know, before I started doing this whole radio TV thing, I was watching him in the stands.
The Bears were at this moment.
But remember, he put up some pretty good numbers for a couple of seasons.
Yeah. Remember that for 2 years?
Jeff Graham.
Putting some air under it, chucking it downfield.
He was not a mobile quarterback.
No. By the way, he just had hip surgery Tuesday.
But you know, he was a good game manager, as they, you know, they like to say. Yeah. He was good.
And precision passing. I mean, listen, he moved the football down the field. And we haven't seen much of that from the quarterback position in this town since Jim McMahon.
We did not have – there was a really
Sid
bad
Luckman.
Run there. Yes, yeah. There was a bad run between Sid Luckman to Jim McMahon. And then there were a lot of – I mean, I love when they would run that. They don't really run it so much anymore because Cutler was here for so long. But starting quarterbacks for the Bears since Sid Luckman.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things that looks like symptoms, you know, at the end of a BioPharm commercial.
Henry Burris, Steve Stenstrom, Peter Tom Willis.
Shane
Keep
Matthews.
It coming, baby.
Oh, gosh. So many. Too many to remember. Right.
I never appreciated Bob Avellini so much in my life.
Well, is it funny? Because they will always show, like, in that same period of time, the Packers had three.
Oh, three.
Right? Three total quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Favre, Rodgers, and who was
Bart Starr.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah,
it's still Domikowski and
right.
the Magic Man.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a great run for Jim Miller. I'm glad he's doing it. I love him as a broadcaster.
I'm excited to work with him because I'll tell you what, the guy is just an encyclopedia of knowledge. He does a lot of Bears shows. He's doing the preseason games. So he'll be doing Fox Kickoff with me. We're doing a special postgame show following every game
on
Channel 50, a 90-minute postgame show. It'll be myself, Jim Miller, Corey Wooten.
Who's in the locker room?
Shea Pepler will be inside the locker room. Shea does a terrific job.
She's awesome.
She working is. With
I've been
us.
Watching that pregame show that she and Corey have been doing.
She's been great.
I have to say, when you say Corey Wooten, you guys, Corey Duton, that postgame show. It's really good. That's good. Well, I'm glad. I'm
it
happy
is a
for
good
you guys.
Show.
And you have Channel 50 to play
Anthony
with.
Herring, who played in the NFL for four seasons. Izzy Adonijé will be part of it. So we've got a whole cast of characters. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer. I can't forget everyone,
Herring's
but it's 90
great.
Minutes.
Herring's great. He knows his stuff just about as well as anybody.
Isn't he really good?
He's outstanding.
Izzy Adonijé just has to look into that camera. Tilt his chin, smile, wink, and that's it's all over. You don't have
magic.
To ask him any question.
That
just,
guy's magic.
He is like a statue, that man.
Well, Izzy's going to be my guest tomorrow at halftime during the preseason game. And are you guys
I'll
aware?
Be watching.
Have you seen the new social media campaign that the Bears have put together?
That's his,
involving the
his
comic
company,
strips?
Right?
That's his. That was his. He is the brainchild behind that. And I think it looks great. It's done a terrific, you know, they've done a terrific job with the Bears. I really credit Scott Hagel for opening up his, you know, for allowing something like this to work with the organization.
That's cool.
Well, explain what it is.
Yeah.
Well, what they've done is they have turned their players into superheroes.
Like comic book style superheroes.
And Izzy was always about that. He was a superhero. He did superhero comic books.
Goes to Comic-Con all the time. Yeah. That's his specialty. So when the idea was presented to the Bears, Scott Hagel said, let's give it a shot. Obviously, they're trying to appeal to a younger audience. I couldn't think of a better way. Mm-hmm. And the players actually have embraced it. It's been great for everyone.
Do they get to pick their own superhero? Or
well, it's them as athletes, but they jack them up. They define the muscles a little bit. They dress it up with some comic illustrations and things like that. It's cool.
You and Jay Cutler, it's an extra big smirk.
Right. With a cigarette in his mouth.
Super smirk.
The Joker.
Who is he?
Jay's the Joker.
He's the smirker.
He's kind of the
Two-Face.
Isn't he like the hipster Outback cowboy guy now? He sort of dresses in that whole thing.
I don't think he's part of this.
No,
it could be my
let's
guess.
Keep him out of
he's
it.
He's busy cooking, doing his wife's TV show.
Right, hey,
just
talk
got
about,
renewed.
Let's talk about, well, you know, can I stop here? You have a few minutes?
Yeah.
Can you stick around? Because Sweet Lou Canales is with us. We're going to get ready for tomorrow night's game. What are we going to be looking for? We're going to do all that. But first, let me get the business out of the way here because Judy can tell us what's happening at the bottom of the hour news, and Violetta gives us the traffic. Judy, you first. Judy, you first.
Yes. I don't really have one
right,
ready to go.
That's
sorry.
All right. There must be something going on at the bottom of the hour. Trust me, Judy will have something by the bottom of the hour. Violetta.
Traffic right now is sponsored by Spot Hero, and Brown Line trains are back on the move after they were stopped near Sedgwick because of mechanical issues. The outbound Stevenson is heavy at an hour, Lakeshore Drive to 355. Little to no delays inbound at 32 minutes. And then the Kennedy is heavy either way between O'Hare and downtown, clocking in at an hour, 5 minutes. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. And if you want personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Violetta Padrumetic in WGN Traffic Central.
The news.
Let's do WGN Radio News.
The opinion.
Respects.
The reactions.
150% agreement with
your thoughts.
Real and unfiltered.
AM 720.
The stuff that matters.
You better. WGN.
You deserve the wedding you've always dreamed of. You deserve natural, unsurpassed beauty. Limestone bluffs, cascading waterfalls, complete with a horse-drawn carriage. You deserve all-inclusive, full-service dinner and dancing in a historic reception lodge and relaxation in cozy log cabins. You deserve the magic of White Pines Resort, just 90 minutes west of Chicagoland, nestled in White Pines Forest State Park in Oregon, Illinois. Book your fairy tale wedding today at whitepinesweddings.com. Take a deep breath. You need a break from the chaos of every day. You need cozy cabins, campfires, s'mores, and ghost stories under the stars. You need White Pines Resort in Oregon, Illinois, just 90 minutes west of Chicagoland. Nestled in the heart of White Pines Forest State Park, you'll find relaxation, homestyle cooking, live entertainment, and memories to cherish. Stay in a real log cabin midweek for only $99. Go to whitepinesresort.net and book your escape today.
Are you ready? How's your lawn looking? What are you going to do about those bugs in and outside your home? Your windows, your garage, your mower. A homeowner's work is never done. And if you have any questions and you need a little guidance, call me, Lou Manfredini. House Smarts Radio is live every Saturday morning from 7 to 10 a.m. right here on the 720 WGN.
House Smarts Radio with Lou. Sponsored by Ace, the helpful place. And Lou's brought to you every week by Belden Leaf Guard. Never have clogged gutters again with Belden Leaf Guard. Call for a free in-home estimate. 833-4-BELDEN.
Lou, stop talking to me. I got to do this. Summer's moving along, but you still have to upgrade your backyard. This, you know what? Let me just bring in football season here for a second. So last year, Architect came out. They did my they redid my whole outdoor space around my townhouse, and it's a relatively small space, but it's completely different, and it works. I can now be out there all throughout football season. As long as it's not raining on me, I'm good. It could snow on me. I got a fire pit. There's nothing better than a fire pit in snow. Nothing better.
Throw sausages on your grill.
Yeah, I got a grill. I got an outdoor kitchen. I got the fire pit. I got the whole thing.
S'mores.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I got leaves dropping over me because I got trees. It's great. It's perfect for the fall. You need to have an outdoor space for the fall, and then you got it for the rest of your life in your home. Call Architect. Go to their website first. Architectofchicagoland.com. ARCHADECK. ARCHADECK. Architectofchicagoland.com. All the phone numbers are there. David and Kristen Berryhill are your proprietors. They're the people who are going to come out. They're going to look at your outdoor space. They're going to give you a design, and they're going to give you whatever you want because they got special financing available to you as well. Architectofchicagoland.com. Change the way you live inside and outside your home.
Don't miss Chicago Tribune's first ever night market. Enjoy food, fun, and entertainment August 24th through the 26th. Learn more. Visit ctfoodbowl.com/nightmarkets.
All right, my friends. Sweet! Luke Kanellis is with us.
Fist pump music.
Yep. That's right. We always do club music for Lou because... Mm-hmm. There are nightclubs that they have plaques to Lou. There's right. A statue.
Polos down.
There is a statue. Now he's a good family man.
Yeah,
but,
he's
but
got a baby.
For decades, you know, that you'd go when you go to the Viagra Triangle, you go, uh-huh, meet at the Lou Canella statue. And then we'll go from there. Because there was always one in the middle of that
park. It actually was the table outside of Tavern on Rush.
Like the Four Seasons has that guy that's waving at a cab. Uh-huh. It's a statue. They actually have a statue of Lou at a table.
with bottle service, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Preferably if you own the place.
But now, but he's been married for more than a decade now, right?
We love
13
Monica.
Years,
Monica.
Man. Jesus. And now with a baby girl?
I know. Congratulations.
Thank
on
you
that.
Very much.
She's that gorgeous.
Really something. You
She's
are.
A life changer.
And that's, you know what? To see Lou as the family man.
I always knew it was in you. I mean, you had fun, and that's why, you know, it's great to be a dad now, because you're not looking back saying, I didn't live my life, I didn't have fun.
No, he's not.
No. He's
All
not.
Right, let's talk about the Bears. They're living their life tomorrow. Tomorrow's the only game of the preseason that really where you have to sit down and pay attention, right?
Well, you better. I mean, you're going to have the starters out there probably playing well into the third quarter, maybe the entire third quarter, and you're talking about a brand-new offensive scheme, so I think Mitchell Trubisky will see a substantial amount of time into that third quarter as well. We should see Taylor Gabriel, who's one of the free agents. They spent $68 million on two free agent wide receivers, Gabriel and Allen Robinson. So you'll see both guys out there. But I'm not sure you'll see them do much. And what the Bears have done this preseason, at least through the first three games, offensively, is they've shown the opposition nothing. They have kept it real close to the vest. They have been incredibly vanilla, and they want the Packers to have nothing on tape to get ready for when it comes to that opener.
Roquan, not going to play, right?
No.
Well, how about the headline that he might not play in this game, but he could play in the preseason finale? I thought, speaking to the point you both just made, isn't that not when you rest everybody who you really want to do well in the regular season?
Unless your first-round pick hasn't played yet. And Roquan Smith, because he sat out 29 days, missed 16 practices, first couple of preseason games, just came back last week before the Denver contest. He needs some game action. Listen, as I said to someone walking over here, nobody wants Roquan Smith to play more than Ryan Pace and head coach Matt Nagy. They need him against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So he's not ready to play now. He's been hampered by this hamstring this week, so he was limited in practice a couple of days this week. Let him get healthy. Let him practice all next week, which is going to be really just one day, and then Tuesday they'll do a walkthrough. Wednesday they're off. The game is Thursday. Remember, it's a quick turnaround for that final
Saturday
preseason
game. Thursday, yeah.
So keep him off it. Let him get a day of practice in on Monday, and then play him against the Bills. And you know what? If he gets through healthy, then he starts against the Packers. That's me. That's not Nagy saying that he's starting. That's me. You need him out there.
Mm. But we're looking at a real possibility that he's not starting in Green Bay, right?
We are. And it depends on who you talk to. Some people say, wow, Nick Kwiatkowski, he's been terrific out there filling in. Nick Kwiatkowski is not Roquan Smith.
The good backup linebacker. Roquan Smith is a top 10 pick. He's got to be out there.
Smith's going to be a pro bowler, no matter what. I'm telling you right now, if he stays healthy, this kid will make multiple Pro Bowls in his NFL career. He's that good. He was the best defensive player in the NFL draft back in April. But it's going to take a little bit of time because of the holdout.
Do you think there's any chance the Bears make a roster move and try to find another edge guy? Because it's Leonard Floyd and Sam Acho, and that's pretty much it. And you have Aaron Lynch, but he's been out for over a month with a hamstring issue. It's a thin position right now, and Leonard Floyd has a broken hand. Some cuts are about to go down in the NFL. You think they can kind of look out there and try to find somebody to add some depth?
If they can find someone, they will grab him. Pass rushers are impossible to find, good pass rushers. I mean, look, the Bears have had a tough time finding good pass rushers. That's why we're so dependent on Leonard Floyd right now, or Sam Acho, or hoping Aaron Lynch. I mean, wouldn't it be something, it would be telling if Aaron Lynch makes this team? This is a guy who practiced the first day of training camp.
And he's been injured.
And then 2 days ago, or yesterday. He's been injured the entire time, but he still may make this team because his first two seasons in San Francisco with the Niners, he had 12 and a half sacks. So we know he can get to the quarterback when healthy.
It's funny because, you know, the Bears are a linebacker team, right? That's the thing. That's the great tradition.
Historically,
here.
Yeah.
Historically, linebackers and running backs. That has been the hallmark of Chicago Bears football. But they you know, have one of the greatest edge rushers in the history of the game, right? They actually have a couple. But they have not, for the last decade, part of the, in this really dark period from the late 2000s to now, this 10-year period, they have not been able to find somebody who can do that, because you need that. You have to put pressure on.
If you can't get to the quarterback, especially in their division, Ro, I mean, you're talking about going up against quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers.
It's one of the best quarterback divisions in all of football.
Matthew Stafford, and now Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
Is there with the Vikings?
Oh, stop right. it. I don't want to talk about it.
Three of the top 10, if healthy, quarterbacks in the league?
Yeah.
Maybe 10?
All right, can we talk about Mitchell Trubisky then, please, since we're talking about this?
Go for it.
Make me feel a little bit better here offensively. So do we believe he's going to have that that second year growth spurt that you really need.
Do you promise to ask me this question every time I'm on the show?
Yes. We need a lot of reassurance.
I want another.
What did you think against Denver?
The only reason I'm asking this question every time I see you is because I don't know the answer.
You need to be convinced.
We haven't seen a ton of evidence yet.
Well, you haven't because I tell people that's because he really hasn't had his weapons with him. All right, he hasn't had the full offense to work with so far in the preseason. So you can't go after him because of what happened at Cincinnati, because Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Tariq Cohen played just one snap. Jordan Howard wasn't out there. So, all right, you can't look at the Cincinnati game. Against Denver, he played four series, all right, led one touchdown drive, 75-yard touchdown drive. Trey Burton with the touchdown catch. By the way, if you're playing fantasy football out there,
there's a guy right there.
Grab him.
Yeah,
Trey Burton. He's going to catch 80 balls this year. If he's healthy, he's going to catch 80 balls. Yeah. Bad snap. All right. Not bad snap. Bad handle off the snap in the end zone, so it ends up as a safety, and then he throws a pick.
Okay, now you've explained every play he's been involved in the preseason. Now I want to know,
I see progress, okay. Yes. I see progress, and I think that as long as he gets protection from his offensive line, he will have a better year than he had a year ago.
Kevin White going to make the team?
Yes. Why not? They've already paid all the upfront money. Yeah. I mean, if he's healthy, throw him out there. You never know.
Okay.
I mean, you drafted him for a reason. You saw that he had great talent coming out of West Virginia.
But that rookie is going to be very good.
Oh, he's going to be terrific. Anthony Miller, he may lead all wide receivers in catches this season.
He may lead the NFL. That kid moves. You could just there's a different. Sometimes you look at an athlete and they're just one step above. They physically move. Just the way they ambulate. Just what, you know, you saw that with Jordan, right? You saw it with Tiger Woods the first time he walked down to a golf course. That is not John Daly, right? You have that moment. And that Anthony Miller kid is like, he's got a swagger to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got hands like Velcro, at least what we've seen so far.
And he's quick. All right, he's got cat feet out there on the field.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, Burton's going to lead the team in catches. Anthony Miller will be second. Robinson will lead the team in touchdown grabs.
And don't be surprised if you see Anthony Miller on end-arounds. We saw that a lot in camp with him. But they just want to get the ball in that guy's hands because him in open space, good things will happen.
How many running backs will we see in the backfield, do you think, in any given play? One or two?
Two.
You think?
Yeah, yeah. I think you'll see two, and you bring up a great point. I mean, listen, this running back position, they need some depth there because Tariq Cohen does not take over for Jordan Howard if Howard goes down, right? They're different running backs.
Right, completely.
So who backs up Jordan Howard?
Benny Cunningham?
No. Special teamer, third down back, wrong guy. Taylor Mizell? No. Niles Davis, the guy they picked up from Kansas City? Maybe. I mean, they're looking for a guy that can fill the shoes of a Jordan Howard if Howard goes down. I don't think Howard's going down. By the way, you can book it. Howard's going to rush for more yards this season than he did in either of his two seasons to start his NFL career. And he is just the 20th running back in NFL history to rush for over 1,100 yards in each of his first two seasons.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Peyton, Sayers didn't do it.
Okay. So what are we looking for this preseason game tomorow?
Just be healthy.
Yeah. You just want everybody to
everybody get emerge, out healthy.
Move the football,
healthy.
And be healthy.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sweet Lou.
I'll see you on at 11:30 tomorrow morning. Don't forget, early start, not a night game.
Oh.
Noon kickoff.
That's going to change the day.
And, love a noon kickoff.
And if you have tickets.
In August.
And if you have tickets, if you saw the paper today. All right? Hmm. New rule by the NFL. They will not accept tickets if you print them off a PDF file. Oh. You need to show them off your phone or have the actual tickets.
Good to know.
Oh, hell no!
To prevent the counterfeiting?
It's already 6 hours to get into the game now.
Oh, my God.
I can just imagine what's going to happen.
And if you don't have your clear purse, your clear plastic purse,
that's
good luck.
Be...
All right,
goodbye. We're telling... Lou's people are pulling them out of here. I've never seen anything like it. It's very important now. Judy Pilak has the WGN News brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Thank you, Judy.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being prepared for this.
You know what? I've never caught off guard. Okay, everyone makes mistakes, even me.
I came to you early, though. All right, let me get a little inside radio here. I'm gonna open up the back of the box for you.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, I come to Judy, you know, at the, like, you know, the 18, 19, 20, 22, 25 after the hour, sometimes 30 after the hour. What's coming up in 2 minutes, right?
Yeah, okay. And, pretty big window there.
Yeah, but generally it's after 20 before right. 30. And I came to you at 18 minutes after the hour, and you were like, what?
What? I'm so sorry. I had nothing written, and I was like, what? And I,
just pick it up.
Normally, yeah, I know. I was looking, thinking, I could just make this
up. You want to be pimping.
I could not make. I was looking at a story that I could not make up a tease for. It was so convoluted.
And I do like it when we were having fun with Lou Kanellis. We're talking about the Bears, and everybody's laughing and happy, and everybody's saying, no, it's all good. And then, and Judy was coming up the news. 85,000 people killed in a typhoon.
I should have just said the Bears will play this weekend.
Yeah. Bears will play this weekend and probably lose.
No, I wouldn't say that because I'm always optimistic.
Well, it doesn't matter if they lose or they win anyway here. They're just...
You know what? It does matter.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
It's preseason. No. We just wanted them to come out healthy.
Please describe what you mean, though, when you say make something up. You mean just...
Yeah,
you mean well,
I didn't even hear that part.
Here,
that went right over my head.
Fake news.
Good catch in the fake news world.
That yes. would never happen.
Meaning you would just come up with something you know you're working on that is true and real.
Yes,
but yes. it's you. Just I got to come up with it because I didn't write it down. Okay, that's what you mean.
Right? I know what my next tease is going to be. No fake news here.
Yeah. All right. Hey, speaking of fake news.
Yeah.
This is a rather interesting story. The chief financial officer for the Trump Organization has been given immunity by the special counsel's office.
Yeah. Weitzelberg. Been with the family. His dad, Donald Trump's father, hired him.
Right. Right.
Been with him for a long time.
Fred Trump.
Keeps the books.
Fred Trump in heaven right now going, what the hell did I just do? All right. Mike Monaco joins us. He can explain. I have one question here, because you're already hearing some defenders of the president, Republicans are out there saying, listen, this is not, the Trump Organization has nothing to do with the Russia investigation, or does it?
Yeah. Well, we don't know, and we certainly do know this, that the organization has gotten in trouble just from what we've learned so far, from what Cohen has done and how they organize the payments. The $130,000 to Stormy Daniels and the $150,000 that ended up in the other lady's pocket, paid through American media, whose president David Pecker also has immunity. So those are the two people who probably Trump would hope the most would not get immunity. Those two.
Would you,
Alan Weisselberg and David Becker.
So in particular with Weisselberg, because I think this one dropped pretty hard today, thinking that the things that he would know, being in charge of the Trump Organization's books for so many years, the intimate knowledge of every deal, the fact that people have said that Donald Trump himself would sign off on most things, and so there were conversations there. This is the person who pretty much holds the keys, I would think, to everything, all of the business dealings of the president. But would he be needed, necessary, if they were just looking at Cohen? Or does this indicate to you there's something more, there's a broader scope?
Well, that's a good question. It's definitely going to be a broader scope because he's not going to just be limited to talking about Cohen.
Well, hasn't Cohen already pleaded guilty? I mean, isn't it over?
Why do you need him?
Right, but there are other people also involved in the payments. There are two executives. Apparently, Weisselberg is executive number one in the Cohen indictment.
Okay, but Cohen has. Let me go back to this because and maybe this is a dumb question. I don't know. You're the smart guy here.
There are no dumb questions, bro.
Well, you don't listen. Apparently, you don't listen to the show very often, do you? There is already a guilty plea, right?
Yeah, but the organization is also involved.
Oh.
So maybe the organization could be charged.
And
maybe
what
other
does that
people.
Mean?
How do you charge an organization?
It's interesting because what's really interesting about these cases is because there are three prosecutorial entities in the state of New York that are investigating the Trump Organization. One is the Southern District of New York. That's the federal case. The second is the Attorney General of New York. And the third is the District Attorney in New York, who's the Cook County State's Attorney. So three separate investigations are going on right now of the Trump Organization and whether or not they were implicit either in the Cohen stuff or in claiming there were tax losses when there weren't tax losses. For example, it's interesting how the organization paid Cohen for the $130,000. He charged him $130,000 plus an extra $50,000 said for tech services, and then they doubled it to $360,000. They took the $180,000 and doubled it. They said the implication is for tax purposes. So that makes no sense that they did that for tax purposes.
But they only did they only pay him $180,000 or did they pay him $360,000?
No, $360,000.
And then does he kick
plus
back
a bonus
that
of so $60,000?
So then the question is, does he kick some of that money back to somebody else in cash?
No, I don't think so. I think the point is this: because they raised it such, they know it's not that they're not paying a real attorney fee. They know he is paying that to someone else. See the point?
I see. Okay.
Well, talk about that, because, Mike, isn't there a legal way, as tawdry as it sounds, to pay off for hush money to a mistress? Is there a legal way to do that, and couldn't they have taken that route?
Well, not if you're running for federal office and you want to hide it. Let me just put it this way. If the president himself gave $130,000 either in cash or in check to Stormy Daniels, that would not be a crime, because as a person running for office, you can expend any amount of money you want for yourself. The problem here is he had Cohen do it. Cohen knew it was involving to help with the campaign, and the president knew it was involving helping the campaign. And because of that, it's a crime. Now, what we don't know regarding Weisselberg is whether he is seeking immunity. In other words, whether somebody, an attorney on his behalf, went to the Department of Justice or the special counsel and said, he wants immunity. If you give him immunity, he will testify. Or if he's refused to testify, relying on the Fifth Amendment, because there is no attorney-client privilege. Excuse me. There is no accountant-client privilege. There is an attorney-client privilege. There is no accountant-client privilege. And it's been my experience dealing with accountants who have represented my clients over the years, they are the first to be willing to testify against.
Oh, boy. Fear the accountants.
They're the first.
That's very interesting, yeah.
So it's interesting to see whether this fellow is going to be a willing witness or an unwilling witness. Either way, he's got to testify truthfully, or he's facing problems. Once you get immunity, the only problem you have is if you lie. If you testify untruthfully and they can prove it, you might get nicked with a perjury indictment.
Let's take this to the next, because we're I want to get to Judy's tease just to see if she's written it yet. But
surprise her again. I am ready to go whenever you are.
All right,
she sounds ready.
Mike, do you have a couple seconds? I want to ask you.
Sure.
I want to stop here, and then on the other side, I want to ask you if this is going to get stopped politically, because could you even charge? Does if he's the president of the United States, isn't he immune to all of this stuff outside of his work as president until after he's president? Because there's a lot of people claiming there is legal precedent to keep the president with an S from having to deal with stuff that is not related to the presidency. And his new Supreme Court justice is one of the guy, nominee is one of the guys who really stands by that. So we'll talk about all of that. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Prayers and praise for an American hero.
All right. I like that. Violetta. All right. Mike Monaco is on the phone with us, and we were talking about the fact that the guy who's the business manager, essentially, for the Trump Organization, the chief financial officer, has agreed to take part in the investigation by Mr. Mueller in exchange for immunity for anything he happens to say or do, right? Or they find out that he did.
Right, so we don't know for sure whether he sought immunity or whether it was forced upon him. Either way, he has no Fifth Amendment privilege because of the immunity, so he's going to have to answer questions.
Does he have to? So he answers questions of the New York authorities who are prosecuting Michael Cohen. But could this extend? Would he have to cooperate with a Bob Mueller? Should he have questions for him? Does that extend into that territory?
It would extend to federal prosecutors. The state would be different, but he would definitely have to test.
This is federal immunity, right? Isn't this federal
immunity?
Federal immunity.
Federal immunity.
So it goes for Southern District of New York and Mueller. It doesn't apply to the state.
Right. And he's going to have to answer any questions Mueller has, for sure.
Yeah. Hey, now, they're going to argue, the arguments are already out there, that this is not the Russia investigation, and, you know, what does this have to do with anything? And even if you found something that Donald Trump did in terms of, you know, wacky tax, which they'll now get the tax, finally, we're going to see what the tax returns look like, at least for the Trump organization, if not for Donald Trump personally.
Yeah, you would think Mueller has them already, but we'll see.
But the argument is that while he's president, he can't be approached for things he did prior. That's not necessarily true,
No, it's not true. But there's a memo that the Department of Justice has that says that they say that you're not supposed to, for the Department of Justice, you are not going, they will not indict a sitting president. That's what the Department of Justice has a memorandum to that effect. It is not clear whether it's constitutionally a point that whether or not under the Constitution a sitting president cannot be indicted. Ordinarily, you would think not. But here, two factors. One, ordinarily you think Congress would be in charge of investigating the president. Here, Congress is not only not investigating the president, they're doing everything they can to, at least the House is, doing everything they can to
cover up.
To cover it up. Secondly, the crime that he's being investigated for relates directly to his being president, with whether or not he conspired with the Russians to rig the election, to adversely affect the election for his competitor. This is directly related to what is at stake here, and this is why it seems to me that if ever a sitting president could be indicted, it would be this one.
Okay.
Because the crime he's being investigated for relates directly to how he became president.
Okay. Donald Trump's week, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best possible week ever.
That's a bad. Oh, yeah.
One being worst week of your life. Where would this be?
This is not the worst week, because I think the worst week is yet to come. But this is a pretty bad week. He had a pretty bad week.
Pretty
bad week. So we'll see what and this fellow Decker apparently has a safe full of
Pecker.
Stuff.
Pecker. How you get that wrong? Pecker.
Yeah, how could you get Pecker wrong? Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's no question that Donald Trump, without question, has Pecker problems.
Yeah, that's one of the problems.
No, I don't.
That led to where he is now.
Exactly. Hello. Let's see what we did there. All right.
Yeah, okay. You're very good.
All right, thank you.
Anyway, it's all very exciting. Very, very exciting stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know how good it is for the United States of America. Although the president did say to us yesterday, "If you impeach me, you're all going to be poor."
He's been A+. His grade.
That's true.
The grade that he gave himself.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
his A+, and the president of the United States is critical of flipping.
Oh, don't you love that?
Yeah. I think the
best story.
Oh my God.
There's a
should
great
be illegal
story.
To cooperate with the federal government.
But there's a great story.
Should be illegal.
Crane's Chicago Business talked about how many Illinois crooked politicians over the years would have loved it if you had no flipping rule, if they made that illegal.
Exactly. And he called John Dean a rat. John Dean, he called, who was, when I was in the U.S. Attorney's Office, John Dean was testifying against President Nixon. And his testimony was all corroborated by tapes. And you're going to see here, Cohen has got a bag full of tapes that are going to corroborate his testimony.
Yeah, all right. Mm. Okay, Michael. Have a good
weekend.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Enjoy
the weekend. Have a great weekend.
Mike.
Bye, Anna.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. There he goes, Mike Monaco. Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
Richard Roper just stepped into the studio.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready. We're going to do a little top fiver. We're going to do a little Carnarvon wagon.
All right.
We got, nice. Let's see what else we got coming up here.
Jazz Fest is going to be visiting us for a little performance today. Looking forward to that. Some of the musicians.
And Richard Roper is the most important reviewer of Very Cavallari in the world. Now in season two, we'll be
I'm
in
sorry.
Season two.
I know, it's your
any,
fault.
If in any small way we contributed to that. But
I think you did.
Yeah.
I think you did, too.
I think the fact that you made it, you know, is one of the
you
most...
You made it credible.
Yeah. He's one of the most esteemed critics in all of film history, and it decides to slum
right.
on this show.
I was flabbergasted to see Richard Roper doing that.
And now it's going to be in season two, and I blame you, and I blame Jay.
Don't care.
But it is kind of secretly fun, and
well,
you make it fun.
Thank you, Anna. And the best compliments I'm getting from people saying, I'm not watching this show, I'm just reading your
just
recap.
Reading you. It's totally
but,
true.
It would be kind of like, not that I'm in his league, but it would be as if Roger Ebert had been doing real-world Chicago updates, you know, when it was on MTV in 92.
Yeah.
Would have been cool, though. Certainly would have been cool. All right, let's get to the top five, shall we? Because this is very important stuff.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in, Anna.
Number five.
Family of Senator John McCain has announced that the senator has chosen to discontinue medical treatment. He's had a year-and-a-half long battle with brain cancer. He's been in the U.S. Senate for more than 30 years, served nearly as long as that in the Navy. During the Vietnam War, he was shot down and captured, spending more than 5 years in a prison camp known as the Hanoi Hilton. Ran for president twice, and in 2008, he was his party's nominee. A few months ago, after he was diagnosed, he talked about his life.
Every life has to end one way or another. I think it was a playwright, I'll think of his name in a minute. He said, I always knew that no one could live forever, but I thought there might be one exception.
That reminds me, that's
You gotta have joy. Listen, those joyful memories of the campaign in 2000 are some of the most enjoyable times of my life. We were the underdogs. We were fighting our way up. We went to Sedona. You remember? I mean, everything was so magic about that campaign. And I'm very grateful for having the opportunity. I'm very happy. I'm very happy with my life. I'm very happy with what I've been able to do. And there's two ways of looking at these things, and one of them is to celebrate. I am able to celebrate a wonderful life.
John McCain, a great American hero. Mm,
no question.
And obviously our thoughts and prayers are with his family in this very trying moment as he ends his battle here.
Yeah, they stopped the medical treatment, but they said that he's outlasted what they expected, and we'll see what happens next.
Checking in at
number four.
Illinois State Board of Elections has ruled that Willie Wilson did not violate election laws by handing out thousands of dollars at Southside churches.
Friend of the show?
Yes. Well, Willie had this to say about the mayor.
We have those people who save their home, whereas that the mayor and his other politicians take their and go and take their homes. You know, so we have those type of people. And I'm a Christian. I'm brought up that way from down south. And, I'm always tough, all right? But, you know, I don't use the curse, but these guys, Ronnie Manning, these lawyers out here, they're a bunch of ass. for even thinking of doing something like this.
Do you think all these missteps actually help his campaign?
That was not the plug bell, by the way. That was the elevator bell.
I was wondering about that. I thought maybe you had one of your people, one of your henchmen there hitting the Rokan plug bell.
Was Mike Monaco in the crowd?
Look here. We got to mention McDonald's.
I do remember John 3:16, when you shall call them bleep bleeps by their name. I was raised a Christian. And they're a bunch of bleep bleep bleep.
Wait, there's more.
Oh, no.
These doggone white politicians crooked. These black politicians who crooked. We're going to go at them. Get them out to office. We're going to take the city back for the community and the people. You know, people should be a damn shame of themselves. The lawyers who got up there talking about campaign reform, he ought to check his guy who he represents, the mayor, who he's doing. I don't see how he have a whole straight face they've got any kind of dignity in terms of Christ. Is he born again or what? You know, I don't even understand
it. You know, I know he's not going to win, but wouldn't it be something if he
did? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
All you have to do is get to the top two for the runoff.
Hello.
Okay.
I don't know. Where were you in 2016? Where were you in November? Do you remember?
Strike that from the replay. I'm just saying it would just be fun to see him, and just to see, like, Sean Hannity's head explode like the guy in Scanners.
Yeah. Well, I just don't. And I love Willie.
He loves you.
I don't know. I don't know if this goes well.
You should not have your soul for sale, right? All of these suckers, we're going to try to get rid of them out of office. I'm not running for a paycheck. You know, Ronnie Manion and the rest of these aldermen. What about the time he spent money to get all these aldermen money to vote for him? This is something what they ought to be doing. The poor people really suffer.
Yeah. Again, that was not a plug, Bill.
Okay.
Just making everybody clear about
that. So his cash giveaways are okay. Unanimous decision. And good for Willie.
Well, that might be reviewed by a higher court at some future time. Maybe not here,
but
maybe
not
irony,
now. Right? The irony that his cash giveaways are being challenged when throughout history here we've seen politicians giving away the cash.
Can he please post his church-going schedule asking for some friends? Just so you know where he's going to be for Sunday services, right?
You got to have your hand out.
Mm-hmm. He's something. Never. He is something. I think he might surprise you. He might have numbers by the time you're done here. As Anna said, he only has to make it to the top two. And there's a lot of people in this race, which means he might, you know, that might be 20-25% gets you to the top two.
My goodness.
Yeah. Because Ron, as he calls him, Ron Emanuel, is probably going to be at about 40.
Okay.
Right? So all the rest of the people underneath him are going to be divvying that up.
Could be interesting.
All right. Let us check in now with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour on the WGN News?
A Chicago man gets 30 years for robbing a bank in the suburbs.
Violetta.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN TV News at 9.
Top 5 continues. We're up to
number 3.
Okay, remember that woman who had the Tinder date and then she met all the people? They all ended up at a park together.
Like 1,000 of them?
Yeah, and she asked them to take part in a Hunger Games-esque game for her date, her love.
And they all didn't know each other was showing up, and they just sort of, some of them went along with it.
Turns out it was a gigantic social experiment project that she was doing. Took years to put together. She and her co-creator here were not God, but the guy who actually did it, the creative director behind the project, were on Good Morning America this morning explaining exactly what happened here.
The purpose of making this video was to simply take the Tinder experience and bring it into the real world. It's become kind of socially acceptable to, like, disqualify people and say, like, you know, you have to be X height, you have to make, you know, work X job. Like, yeah, we should be mad about this.
Yeah. Not really. That's the kind of the way it is in real life anyway. Before the Tinder did it, every woman in their head was doing the math anyway.
You were just judged in person when you met people in the bar. Well, I hope they did more than just that once. I mean, they should have done a documentary or something about it if they're going to spend 2 years.
I don't know what they proved.
What is the guy even talking about?
They proved that guys are into it because the chick's hot, and and the girls are into it because, you know, maybe there might be some, you know, that maybe
there
the guy's hot.
There
might be a hookup, and there might be, maybe we'll have a life together. Here's Natasha explaining herself. Oh.
Any apologies for the men who have some bruised egos?
I'm taking all of the hits right now, but I don't mind that because I know who I am and I'm happy and I'm secure in myself. It's funny because all of the negative that I'm getting from these guys are still in my inboxes trying to date me.
To examine and discuss our
get over yourself.
Yeah, that's by the way, inbox has two separate meanings there. Checking in
Good nights.
Are we on the stream already?
Steven Tyler is once again telling Donald Trump he has to stop playing Aerosmith's music. He gave a cease and desist letter to Trump. At least his attorney did, Dina LaPolt, sent the letter accusing the Trump team of willful infringement. we'll see if they actually... Because actually, when you go to the Trump rally, because we go to them all the time, a lot of the music at the Trump rallies are artists that really don't like
him.
Stones have complained also. You've seen even the Beatles.
There's tons of irony, though, in stuff he plays. Sympathy for the Devil is my favorite. All right, here we go.
Yes, that's a great one.
Number one.
Oh, this is very sad news. Robin Leach is dead. He was a veteran journalist, even though we had no idea until he started going on people's yachts that he was a very important journalist, apparently, in England, or at least they claimed that. He launched and hosted Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous from 1984 to 1995. It was basically a Sacha Baron Cohen trick without being a trick, show.
Yeah.
They would go to people's homes and their luxurious lives. He had Trump on about a billion times.
Perfect,
he did.
Yeah.
Donna, what does Tiffany have of yours, and what does Tiffany have of Marla's?
Well, I think that she's got a lot of Marla. She's really a beautiful baby, and she's got Marla's legs. We don't know whether or not she's got this part yet, but time will tell.
Oh gosh!
Golly.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
She's done like Vince Vaughn and Swingers, Beautiful Babies. I love all the beautiful babies.
Yeah, and then
sexualizing the baby.
Oh, God. He doesn't know if the baby's going to have boobs yet.
Oh.
What? Are you kidding me?
I don't know what's happening.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on. In 1992, with Larry King, he gave his theory on why he was so successful.
I think all of us are born with a streak of curiosity. We're just a little bit nosy. We want to know what goes on next door. And I think over the years, we've always thought that rich people live this larger-than-life life that we would love to do, maybe for an hour, maybe for a day. Remember that old show, King for a Day? Well, they aren't really that different from you and I, except the one thing.
Robin Leach was 76.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Leave me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here.
Great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it, I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T. Damn it!
Oh, that was awesome.
Doesn't
get better than that.
Respect.
Never understood. You know, Al Sharpton has been on the show a few times over the years.
Impressive.
And he's. You know what? I've always had a good time with Al Sharpton because when the mics are on, after we've done fighting over whatever it is he wants to fight over. We talk sports, and Al Sharpton is one of the best sports minds in America. He should get off MSNBC, and he should be on ESPN.
Really, I bet.
Or NBC Sportsnet, or one of those things.
Mad Dog and Sharpton.
Yeah.
On The Fan in New York, or whatever that station
is. Yeah, we talk about. I remember when Jay Cutler came to the Bears, and he was in, I don't know what we were fighting about. You know, who knows?
What did he say about Jay?
He was like... Now, Jay Cutler, now let's talk about it. And he was like, he knew like everything there was. He knew all of Jay's stats in Denver.
Well, yeah.
And he was, oh my God, he was like, it was unbelievable.
The things you learn.
Yeah, and he's a very funny and, super when he's not a, when he's like kind of not on.
Right.
He's very funny and laid back.
Just needs to learn how to spell a little bit better.
Look, the carnival wagon.
The actual carnival wagon?
We got to mention this right now. The actual real carnival wagon brought to us by Walter E. Smith has just rolled into the studio.
Thank you, Walter E. Smith. This is a big moment.
It doesn't get better than this. And it is beautiful. And it
gorgeous.
Rolls. You know, we've had so many problems with the carnival wagon over the years. The carnival wagon is now 21 years old. It can drink.
Oh my gosh, it's of age.
And the the problem is that when we rolled it out in public appearances and things like that, one wheel, it's like going to like the jewels, and one wheel's always kind of sticking.
The wonky wheel.
It's totally happened like that. Yes.
There is, and we once had to have Marines carry it up a stage.
That's a true story.
Yeah.
Not a good
because the wheel fell off and the Marines had to carry it. Yeah, it was. I don't think that's what the Marines are best at.
No. But that's nice they did it.
They did it with such precision.
I like how it's very Mad Men-y. I like it.
Yeah, it is. It's got a beautiful
It works. Kind of
and I've noticed something else interesting about it. It came with its own glassware, with its own ice, and with its own Violetta, who stands with it and gets her picture taken with it all day long.
Well, that's why she's standing there, because the camera's around.
Right, put the cameras down and see how long she stays there. Put the cameras down and see how long. Oh my God.
Where'd she go?
All right. Speaking of the Canova wagon.
Wow.
So here it is. This is a great moment, though, right? This
very
is
very exciting,
thing.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Must say, it's beautiful.
I'm excited about it.
We have got to thank the girls at Walter E. Smith, man. They are something.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Talk about you dream it, we build it. We've been trying to dream for a long time. And we never get our thoughts together, but they put it together, and boy, does it look gorgeous.
They're spectacular. So thank you again, Walter E. Smith, for doing that for us. All right. Let's talk about now. We actually have a professional bartender with us, thank God, because if we didn't, there would be trouble. And she's beautiful, and she's talented, and she makes the most amazing drinks in the history of drinking, which is, we know a little something about around here.
We've been part of that history.
Yes. It's Indra Urbeyes, and she and the executive chef, James Lintelman, from Noyane Japanese Restaurant at the Conrad Hotel in Chicago, are here. Mm-hmm. And we have been to this rooftop of the Conrad. We did my birthday a couple years ago.
Stunning.
There, right? This was, it is absolutely stunning. You got the fire pit, you know, you sit around a fire table if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so you can be there, like, I don't know, 8-9 months out of the year almost, right? If the weather's nice enough, people are up there doing it. And it's stunning views of Chicago. It's a block off Michigan Avenue, right at Erie. And it's like, it used to be an advertising agency. The building was Footcone Belding. And they turned it into this beautiful luxury hotel with this sexy rooftop. And you just imagine all the guys in that building, and men and women for years were selling sex, and now that building is just one of the sexiest buildings in Chicago.
Radiating. So
it is. It vibrates is basically what it does.
Easy.
I don't mean it like that. Please. Oh. Get your mind out of the gutter. I'm trying to make it romantic.
Totally.
Anyway, all right, let's talk about the drinks then. That's more important. Indra, what'd you make for us?
I have made this an Avenue cocktail right now. Talking about Michigan Avenue, we have an Avenue cocktail right here. So this cocktail is really rich in flavor. It has some passion fruit syrup in it, some Spanish apple Jack brandy. It's called Battles. And also some bourbon, which is Old Forester.
Is it this one right here? I'm holding it up so everybody on the radio can
with
see.
With a little flower for you.
Cheers to that.
And we add a little bit of lime juice in it to just like balance it out. Mm. And it's super refreshing, perfect for the summertime.
That is perfect.
That tastes summertime. Like Friday right there. That tastes like Friday.
So it tastes like a rooftop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's nice.
It tastes like a sexy downtown rooftop.
Yeah.
All right. And then there's one with a Japanese flag in it here. What's going on there?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorites. If you're into like spirit forward cocktails, I would highly recommend this cocktail. It's called the Samurai. Since we're a Japanese rooftop, this cocktail is so perfect.
Like your arm gets cut off and you don't feel it.
That's right.
I had a sip of this already.
Yeah,
and it's what's in this?
So it's similar to an old fashioned, so you get a little of the sweetness from demerara syrup, but it's totally different because it has a vanilla liqueur in it. Mm. It's liqueur 43, and it has some amaretto in it and some nikatakatsuru, Japanese sweet tea.
Wow.
It's a pure malt, and it's totally delicious.
I'm just going to tell you something here. The Japanese whiskeys, the kids here know it. I have I have a collection of the Japanese. I've thrown myself totally into the Japanese whiskey world because it's, I think right now, some of the most interesting whiskeys, and these things have been, you know, in the hopper, some of them, for 30 or 40 years, right? And so post-war Japan turned into this whiskey colony that was just fantastic. It was actually pre-war, too, but they have these guys. There was the whiskey, the Grand Masters were making it.
Nice.
You know, they had these this incredible attention to detail. One of them, I think, just passed away. One of the big the guys, and they've stopped making, you know, his particular brand.
No,
so
okay.
Some of these bottles have gone from being like $100 a bottle for it to now thousands of dollars. Gee. A bottle for the Japanese.
Wow. You introduced me to them, Ro, and they're very special. I think anyone who hasn't tasted them before, that they just really
it does that introducing thing. It's like my next drink needs no introduction, but I'd like you to sample it, right?
So I'm like, here, okay. Get over here, you gotta try this. This is something cool.
And you're supposed to sip it, not take it like a shot, like Kevin does.
Yes, well, right, like you encourage people to do.
Yeah.
Actually, when the show comes over to my house, I have now locked the liquor cabinet like it's kids.
You did last time.
I did.
Time,
yeah.
And when you lock it, we also add a little bit of water to everything we have had access to.
Yeah, I've noticed that, by the way. But the Japanese whiskeys are amazing.
This
people
really
should go
good drink.
So this is the Nikka what?
Nikka Takatsuru.
Okay, N-I-K-K-A. There's a couple different brands you should look for, but that Nikka, N-I-K-K-A, is as great as it gets. So look for it. They have a whole line of them. They're fantastic.
Yeah, and I love the little touches, too. You get the Japanese flag and the flower. Very nice.
And also we add a little bit of mole bitters to it to give more flavor to it.
Mole bitters?
Mole bitters.
Mexican mole?
Yes, Mexican mole. They came up with this bitters that is just amazing. So you get, a little bit of chocolate flavor in it and some of, of the spices of, the dry peppers and everything.
Wow.
So it really makes this cocktail way better, yeah.
I took a cooking class to try to make mole. It is the hardest thing in the world.
Really?
It takes forever. For
sure. So difficult. This is why these recipes are passed down along generations and generations. And
I've been in a bar.
Really good.
I've been in a bar and I've been bitter, so we can just combine
the
mole and the bitters.
We got it.
I like what you did there. Okay. And then finally, we have this a milky looking thing. What's going on here?
Oh my God. This is my absolute favorite.
You said that about the last one.
Oh my God. No, this is the winner. So I love tequila. For a tequila lover, this is the cocktail. So this cocktail is made with a reposado tequila. So the reposado is usually a little sweeter than the blanco. Mm. So it's like the perfect combination with coconut, Paolo Cortado sherry, a little bit of lime juice, and the tequila.
Oh my God.
This cocktail is to die for.
I'm going to try this. So.
Are you from the Caribbean?
Oh, yes.
Yes, where are you from?
I'm from Dominican Republic.
Uh-huh. Beautiful.
I see
this does have kind of a nice tropical Caribbean touch to it, flavor to it.
It's like a classy pina colada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a really focused, delicious, not too sweet.
Right.
It's a good description.
Excellent description.
You know, you definitely want a bartender or mixologist or whatever they happen to be. You want them to, when they come from the foreign lands, you want to go order from their foreign land, whatever it is that they are making, right? You know, so that's the thing. You want, and she is selling that cocktail right there.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That
is amazing.
Most of the time,
she'll bottle that.
She usually has a headband with grapes and bananas. And
stuff like that. So she sells it. Well, that tastes like vacation to me.
I have two more of these drinks. I'll be wearing that headband with the flowers. Yeah.
You look cute, Richard.
Thank you. That's terrific. That is terrific.
All right, now, Chef, what'd you bring for the food?
So we brought some steam buns with a little foie gras. Soy mirin vinaigrette on top.
Love a steam bun.
Nice.
Settle down, Kev.
Yeah. Jesus.
Beautiful.
Little salmon and tuna poke for my pescatarian back here.
Yes.
Got to know your audience.
Delicious poke. I love it.
And then Thai sticky ribs out of this world. Fall off the bone.
Thai sticky rib.
Yeah. So we're
that's
actually
my nickname in high school.
We're doing a promotion right now that's going through the 31st of September, we're actually selling lunch boxes at Noyane, Conrad Chicago. So we're selling them for $9. $5 of it actually goes to Chicago Public Schools. It's a great cause.
Oh, nice.
And what program in the schools? Is it a specific program?
Ambiguous. I mean, it's just going back. Not a lot of people understand that teachers and parents actually contribute buying markers and
paper
and stuff like that. So we're just giving back.
There to help. That's awesome.
That's wonderful.
No, it's a great cause.
There's a lot of
absolutely
near and dear to our hearts. So please come and support. I'll say hi.
Awesome.
Sola Indra. She'll
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Look for the girl with the Sicario. Grapes on her head, and then ask for the like the just ask for that tequila thing that she makes.
Silly, no?
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, it's
it
oh, it's great. I
coconut
thought
drink.
She had me at the Japanese whiskey.
Uh-huh.
Oh gosh, yes.
And then I mean, she had me at the first tropical thing with the flower. But then when you get to, and I generally, if I see something come out that's white and milky, I kind of think sweet, and I'm not gonna, you know, I'm
right.
not gonna.
Right, it's I like, think too yeah. sweet.
Yeah,
this is not.
It's girly or something.
Oh
you know?
No, this is got no. a real.
Like
kick.
It deserves an umbrella, and this one yeah. doesn't.
No, this thing.
We actually ran out of umbrellas.
Oh, they usually have an umbrella.
No.
Oh.
This thing actually deserves handcuffs. Is what it deserves.
Get them ready, people.
This is an active felony right here in a glass.
I want some.
These are drinks for grown. These are for grown-ups. These are for the grown-ups.
Don't let the kids near this one.
So this is what I like the most about Noyane. It's just it has a little bit for everyone. It has a spirit-forward cocktail, tropical, everything refreshing. And also the menu, too, has like some burgers and also sushi, like a little bit for everybody.
Nice and keep it nice and simple, or you can go more sophisticated. Spirit-forward. I like that.
I also like how it feels cocktail. Like you're escaping the hustle and bustle of the city when you go up there. You've got those amazing views and this inspired food and these great craft cocktails, and you feel like you're on vacation, and you're just, it's just, it's a lovely experience. And that night we were there, it was just perfect for Rose's birthday.
Absolutely gorgeous.
You have to come back soon.
If you're Chicago and you want to show somebody the city who's visiting,
perfect
place to do
it. Good place, too, for people who want to stay downtown, but in a more of a boutique-y hotel.
Yes.
But sometimes when you stay at a boutique hotel, I don't want to name any specifically.
Oh, yeah. No,
sometimes you stay at one, you don't get like the kind of big hotel service, and the Conrad does both.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
That's
boutique
true.
Experience.
They did a beautiful job.
Just off Michigan Avenue, and it's run like a big five star hotel here should be run. At a 4-star price, or whatever it is. I don't even know what the price is.
It's great, whatever.
I feel like that quote could be on the wall there. 5-star hotel at a 4-star price.
Yeah. That's what it's like. It's great. It's a great hotel. When they did that, actually the guy who developed that was one of the great hoteliers in this town. He ran a bunch of, from boutique hotels to, big player hotels, like Intercontinental on Michigan Avenue, which is, I think, that's a sneak hotel right there. That's like one of those hotels that you tell people to stay at in downtown Chicago when they think of the other ones, and you're like, no, stay there. The Conrad has become that. The Conrad has become the hotel where people want to go to the Four Seasons, or they want to go to the Ritz, or what they want to do something like for a good romantic weekend or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say try the Conrad because it's a little off. When I say it's a little off the beaten path, it's maybe 200 feet off the beaten path, right?
But it really makes a difference when you're on the other side, so to speak, at Michigan Avenue.
Not even 200, it's 100 feet.
You feel like you're all
path.
Of a sudden you've entered another world, but you can walk to every all the bustling, hustling places. Yeah,
you're literally a 16-second walk back to Michigan Avenue from it. So it's really
That's
great.
True.
So it's Erie and Michigan Avenue, just west of Michigan Avenue on Erie. All right. So we should mention again, it's Noyane is the restaurant, the Japanese restaurant, and the rooftop is spectacular and one of the great views of Chicago. And you can go, again, you guys are open because you've got fire features there. Don't get too close. Don't get this one drink too close to it. I would like to point that out. Because that's really going to be something. But there is, it's spectacular.
It
so
is.
Thank you guys for
Very
doing
special.
This. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much for having us.
All right. Indra and James.
Thanks, guys.
James, the chef.
Wow.
And then Indra is, Indra should have a medical degree based on what she has just done right here. Because I think some people are going to be falling asleep before this is all said and done. Because we don't want to actually have Violetta necessarily drink one of these.
Oh,
because
no.
It might result in maybe like what happened to her on Sunday night.
It wasn't Ben Bradley.
My voice gets a little squeaky when I drinky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Imagine that. All right, so I just want to set the scene for you. It's Italian Fest on Taylor Street.
Uh-huh.
It's midnight on Sunday night in the Monday morning. Sunday night.
What does Mom always say about after midnight?
Uh-huh. Nothing. Well, you know what happens after midnight? That's what happens after midnight.
That sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
Got to let it all hang out.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, she does.
Yeah.
She did.
Yes. That's what happened.
I didn't. I was well dressed.
Yeah. And she went up to a guy who she thought looks like Channel 9's Ben Bradley. And he was like, I don't look like, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't look like him. Get away from me. And it's a great video. And the best part is that. You had a, who took the video for you?
I did.
You, that was just with your arm?
Yeah,
that was
an I'm
arm
an extension? Instagram sensation like that.
Classic selfie situation.
She's oh my gosh.
Instagram sensation like that.
I'm really good at the taking the videos of myself. For the Instagram.
Oh my god.
Do it for the gram.
Gonna need another round here. Gonna need another round over here. More drinks.
Did you see did you say I shouldn't finish one of these or have another one?
All right.
Okay, here we
go. Let's find out what's happening. Before you do anything, tell us what's happening on the roadways. Yeah, it's the Rocon Show with Anna DeBlanc.
Yes.
Right here on 720 WGN.
Happy Friday. We've got the drinks flowing in the studio and the food. Amazing. All so good. And it's,
all right.
I wish I could pronounce the name of it again. It's Noyami? Is that right? Noyami.
Very good, Anna.
Yes, so that's it. And it's the best rooftop place that I've been to. And it's still summertime,
amazing.
So get out there and enjoy it because, you know, we don't have many weekends left. It's a nice escape.
It looked like too many men on the field in a football game all of a sudden here during the break. So many people came swooping in to sample a drink
like
a or a bite
change.
To eat. Defense, 15 men on the field.
Those steam buns off the charts.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like a television timeout. And they're all standing. Like when you're at the stadium and it's a TV timeout, it's like it's so professional looking, right?
Really,
it's like unsexy.
Everybody standing
like,
around.
Right.
And then it's like places people, and all of a sudden.
Right. They slouch. The players are slouching. Some of them are you know, texting. Others are like on the phone. People, they're drinking beer.
He's back on.
Yeah. Oh, we're back on. All right. Get back in position.
Pull it together.
Yeah.
Pull it together.
All right. So. Coming up on the program, Mr. Richard Roper will be telling us about the movies of the weekend. We did a little bit of it yesterday, but he'll also kind of list in order of things you should and should not be seeing.
And there was one we couldn't get to.
One we even couldn't get to that I can't wait to talk about. A very interesting film, actually.
Oh, very. But now, I feel personally responsible for making people aware that the Happy Time Murders, the stars Melissa McCarthy and things that look like Muppets, but they're puppets.
And they do really, really bizarre things with silly string.
Among other things.
Yes. Do not take your children to see this movie.
Please don't. Don't go anyway, but but whatever you do, because you'll see these Muppet-like creatures. They're not Muppets, but the director is Jim Henson's son, so they have the same kind of look. But this is a hard R movie. That is not only profoundly unfunny and tasteless, but really graphic. Do not take the kids.
Don't take the kids. Don't take yourself either.
Right.
Just skip that one. Unless you're Kevin, because he liked the trailer and he said that he was laughing during the trailer. So if you laughed during the trailer, that is.
But I'm an idiot. You got to preface it with that.
Yes. Well, okay. All right. Well, that was at least know thyself, Kevin. But that's not the point. The point is that this is a movie that is. It's not being really marketed as a children's movie. They're smart about that.
No.
But people will see, still ad for it,
right?
Or they'll hear, oh, it's like a Happy Time Murders. Oh, it's Melissa McCarthy. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be fun and silly and no.
The murders like part. I'm going to say overall in the history of cinema, if a film has the word murders in the title, don't take your children. That's probably just a good rule.
Murder on the Orient Express?
No, because there were murders on the Orient Express.
You'd
be more entertained if you just looked at the candy counter and tried to guess how much they're charging for junior mints for an hour and a half than actually going into the theater.
What about Murder by Numbers?
Oh.
So what they're doing here is proving my point. Now,
Murder by Death? There's a good one. That
Anatomy of a Murder?
Yeah. Dial M for Murder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Again.
What about A Perfect Murder?
You're never going to find one.
Murder in New Hampshire, the Pamela Wohouse smart story.
Murder at 1600 with Wesley Snipes. He's always family friendly.
Yeah.
Thank God.
There's a dead body in the bathtub in the first 4 minutes of that film.
Thank God.
How to Murder Your Wife.
Oh, Jack Lemmon.
That's
a
Jack Lemmon classic.
Yeah.
Right.
If you get a chance to see that. That is obviously, very quickly too, How to Murder Your Wife is not a movie that would get made in 2018, because it is a dark comedy about a guy who tries to get out of his marriage and figures out the best way to do it would be to
murder his wife.
Right.
Murder on Flight 502.
Although, yeah, I didn't Harvey Weinstein did greenlight that project.
Okay, come on now.
Danny Bonaducci was in Murder on Flight 502. Okay. There's another one.
What about Bloody Murder 2, Closing Camp?
That you know, one, okay, borderline, borderline.
Hold on, I just want to stop right here for a second. I would like to blame Mr. Internet, whoever invented the Internet for this segment.
Right? Too much material.
Yes, because now you're like, oh, I'm just going to go through and I'm going to ask him every question.
No, we're going to try to figure out.
No, these are right off the top of my head.
Murder by Death, by the way, is a lighthearted comedy. My parents took me to that when I was a kid.
Well, but your list of things your parents took you to, took you when
they also
you were
took
a kid.
Me right. They also took me to Papillon, and
that was probably
that was more of a your father doing the obligatory cautionary tale. One more misstep out of you, Mister.
Yeah, that sometimes works.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, you know that camp is still open. That prison camp, row.
What about the Penguin Pool murder?
Again.
1932.
Yeah.
Good year.
We haven't found one yet, I don't think, so we should give up. Is that what you're saying, Richard?
Yeah, you're never going to find a movie. You know, Mary Sunshine murders the bad people. Rated G. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, the word murder. I think he's right.
It doesn't work for a kid's movie.
We're going to go with Richard Roper on this.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Why don't we have Judy take it away with the WGN News?
All right, I'm coming.
It's him. You're arrested for the murder of Roland LeGrand.
What are you talking about?
Well, he was murdered last night. A witness identified you. The pimp, Roland LeGrand. You know him, right?
You got the wrong guy, pal. I was with her all night.
Come on, let's go.
All right, let me get dressed. No.
We got some stripes at the station for you, pretty boy.
I didn't kill anyone.
Do that. He was with me.
And now, relax. They got nothing.
Nobody believes on
her.
And then,
get back in your room.
I'll be back in no time.
Poppy!
It's a scene from Papillon, a remake from the famous 70s film. Richard Roper is here. Rokan is off to a fabulous adventure. He's going to tell us all about that on Monday, I'm sure. But let's take a look back, because yesterday you had a chance to review a couple of movies for us, but we didn't get to one. We're going to get to that, and then we want to hear your latest from Vera Cavallari.
Yeah.
Getting rebooted, we're renewed for a second season. Papillon, though, you say 3 stars for this one.
3 stars for Papillon. As Anna mentioned, it was a 1973 film with Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman, which if you get a chance, check it out on cable. Very intense, and this is a story based on the true story of, as you heard there, Charlie Hunnam, now taking the role Steve McQueen had. He's a safecracker. He's a kind of a man about town in Paris. In the early 30s, he gets framed for murder and then is sent to this, you know, this horrific penal colony that the French government ran for decades, where the cruel and unusual does not begin to describe the treatment of the prisoners. And then he tried multiple escape attempts. Yeah, I was listening to that clip too, Anna, and I actually give the filmmakers credit for this. I mean, obviously, the actual papillon, and that's the French word for butterfly. He had a butterfly tattoo on his chest. The story, it's a French story, and all of the main characters are French. And I give him credit. If you're going to do the movie in English, don't have the actors try to do French accents. Just go with it.
I know.
You know, and Charlie Hunnam's actually an Australian actor, but he's pretty much has an American accent. He was on Sons of Anarchy. People might remember him as Jax from Sons of Anarchy. And I feel like, you know, if you're going to do it, just either do it in French with subtitles or just like, you know, we're already suspending disbelief. So I give him credit for that. It's a very well-made film. It's super intense. You know, people,
gritty,
if you know the true
brutal,
story, it's a prison drama. Yeah. And, you know, in this day and age, there's a lot more graphic than the 1973 film, which was pretty, you know, sometimes hard to sit through. So you got to know what you're getting into here. It's a hard R movie in terms of the treatment of human beings, the language, and some of the visuals. But 3 stars, very well done. And Rami Malek, who is on Mr. Robot, the TV series, plays his, who becomes his friend's Degas. That was the role that Dustin Hoffman played in the 1973 original. So, you know, fine performances throughout. Really well photographed, you know, the sets and the production design, first rate, very intense, 3 stars.
If you're in the movie for something really, in the mood for something really intense.
Yeah, and it is about the triumph of the human spirit. And also this guy in real life, you know, he was a career criminal and, you know, his experiences, he really did want, he kept saying, if I ever get out of here, I'm going to be a better man. I'm going to do good things for my fellow man. So there is a lot of humanity and inspiration even in this dark tale.
Does it follow the post-life as well? I'm not as familiar with it. Is that too much of a spoiler?
No, I mean, listen, this is almost a 100-year-old story. Clearly, if he didn't escape, if the sharks ate him, it would be a short film. So, yeah, the real-life Papillon actually lived, gosh, for more than 30 years after he escaped. Gee. He lived in Venezuela. He married. He became a successful businessman. Then eventually the French government gave him a full pardon. You know, he never really committed the crime. He didn't actually commit the crime for which he was convicted, and he became very celebrated. And the book Papillon is amazing to read, because if anything, the real life adventures he details are more harrowing than what they show in the movie, if you can believe it. Yeah.
Man, hard to believe. Mm-hmm. Happy Time Murders. We spent some time on that just moments ago. So just, we won't take much time with this, but you actually gave this 0 stars.
0 stars. First time this year I went that deep, that down for a movie. My friend Michael Phillips of the Tribune also gave it 0 stars. What? And all I can tell you is, you know, look, it's an attempt at a, you know, politically incorrect, hard R comedy involving puppets and human beings, and it just fails miserably. It's very, it's actually depressing to watch. And, you know, I'm sure they thought they had a good property on their hands. They attracted Melissa McCarthy, Elizabeth Banks, Maya Rudolph. Mm-hmm. These are really funny, talented people. And a lot of times something looks really good on paper, and then it just, the execution just doesn't work. So please avoid the Happy Time Murders.
And Jim Henson's son.
Yeah, is so the director of this. Muppet-esque. So it's a Muppet-like thing, but it is not for children.
It's a stay away from it, kids, and stay away from it, adults. Then you do have one movie we didn't have a chance to get to yesterday, Richard, and that is...
Justine Naked, yes, which is kind of an interesting title. When you see the movie, you'll understand it. It's not about a painter. It's not about a nude model. It's actually a really cool premise. It's all about this guy, Tucker Crowe. It's a fictional story, by the way, but it has the look of something that could be based on a true story. And in the early 1990s, he released one album as a singer-songwriter that was a pretty big commercial hit, a huge critical hit. And he was, you know, thought to be, you know, the next kind of sensitive singer-songwriter, rocker coming up. And then he disappeared, fell off the face of the earth. No one knows what happened to Tucker Crowe. Mm-hmm. And now we go to 25 years later, and Chris O'Dowd is a very funny guy. He runs a website dedicated to Tucker Crowe. He's obsessed with him. And Rose Byrne, who's wonderful, you remember from a lot of, like, you know, comedies.
She's great.
She plays his long-suffering and longtime girlfriend, because his first love is Tucker Crowe. And through a series of circumstances I don't want to give away, she finds Tucker Crowe. And while her boyfriend's out cheating on her, she starts having a friendship, shall we say, with the real Tucker Crowe. And then it goes some really interesting places from there. It's very funny. It's very sweet. Ethan Hawke plays Tucker Crowe. He's the perfect guy to play, you know, the heartthrob who in his 20s, right, who, you know, had everybody in love with him.
Including Uma Thurman.
Yeah. And then, you know, and now he's 50-ish and he still has that look where you're like, he's the kind of guy where you like, guys want to kind of be like him and women want to fall in love with him. But, you know, right in the background, there's some woman who hates him for what he did recently. Here's a little clip from this one.
All right.
For those that care, I haven't won any Grammys and I'm not in the Hall of Fame, but I'll accept the, I was in Waterloo Station the other day with a friend of mine, and it made me think of a song I love. I didn't write it, but I wish that I did. Wow, I'm nervous.
Dirty old river, must you keep rolling, rolling into the night? So busy, makes me feel dizzy. Taxi light shines.
Ooh, unlike Pierce Brosnan, he can kind of sing there.
Yeah, actually, you know, Ethan Hawke, that song, by the way, is Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks, and it's got a really, really cool tie in here. And Ethan Hawke actually performs and, you know, plays with the band. And does most of the songs in here. And this movie is based on a book by Nick Hornby. If you get a chance to read some of his work, his book High Fidelity was turned into a movie with John Cusack. Fever Pitch was turned into a movie about a Red Sox fan. Jimmy Fallon, by the way, actually, was in that movie. He's in About a Boy, which starred Hugh Grant. So his books are really, really, really well written, really fun, and really adaptable. They're always turning them into really good movies. So 3 stars.
3 stars.
For Justine Naked. And I think Ethan Hawke, you know, if you look at his career going back to when he was kind of, you know, Dead Poets Society kind of teen idol, and now
he was huge.
You know, all the way through movies like Boyhood, where he plays, you know, he's often played that dad, that kind of absentee dad, that trying to make things better. Yeah. He's a terrific actor, actually. If you look at the breadth of his work, he's
and I love Rose Byrne too.
She's great,
so funny,
and so beautiful, and so smart and lovely, and she's great in here. It's a neat story. If you're really looking for, you know, we look like maybe getting a little rain this weekend. Yeah. You want a kind of a nice escapist romantic comedy?
Sounds like a date movie.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That kind of movie.
There's some good stuff out there, Anna.
Date night.
Do you want to see that one, Violetta? Does that one appeal to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does to me, too, actually. But I wonder if that's one of the ones you have to kind of drag your date to, or if the guy wants to go. But it sounds great.
Dragging nobody nowhere.
You do your thing. Do your thing. Don't you know it? We're going to talk a little bit about Very Cavallari.
Oh, yes, we are.
Jay Cutler signs a contract, but it ain't with football. With his the husband of
K-Cav.
K-Cav.
Kristen Cavallari,
and
baby.
Richard Roper is the one to talk to, because I don't watch
Very
Cavallari.
I just
read your column about it, and I laugh about it, and then I think it's fun. But a lot of people are watching, I suppose, and we are going to talk about that. But first, we have to check in with Violetta Podramatic. Take a look at the traffic trouble spots.
Do you want a drink?
No, what are you having?
Heart medicine.
So, can you believe that the Canadian is actually coming over?
Whoa.
You doubted this whole thing. I love so much. He's literally about to walk through this door. Can you just please be nice? Because
to who?
To the Canadian.
Does he have a name? I feel like you should learn his name.
His name's Matt. You should probably just call him the Canadian.
I'm not calling him the Canadian.
There you have it. The very interesting life of Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari. Richard Roper is here, the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Rich, you've been following with high intensity every episode this year.
I have to admit. And, you know, yes, it's a guilty pleasure. And, yes, we're kind of do tongue-in-cheek episodes. But it's really actually, you know, E! Has always known how to do these shows.
They do.
They're so well edited, and they stage good scenes, and you get these dramas and stuff. So the setup there is Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler, former Chicago Bears quarterback, who won one playoff game, right, mm-hmm. Kev? You won the one playoff game, right?
Yeah, he won one. I don't remember
and
that.
And he was on the sidelines as they lost the NFC Championship. So they're now in
same
their...
Same disinterested look on his face that he had when he was playing football as when he's in the reality show.
Actually, I keep hearing from beat writers and people that had covered the Bears saying, we wish we'd gotten this side of Jay, because as you know, most times in press conferences, you know, you got nothing. So they're living in Nashville now. They've got a $9 million mansion. They're looking at another property. It's all about... And Kristen Cavallari, for people who know Laguna Beach, the hills, all that stuff. They've got three children. The kids are not a part of the series.
They don't show
the kids on camera, not at all. So it's all about their adventure.
I respect them for that, because keep the kids off the reality
show. I'll give her that. And, you know, I know there's other issues with K-Cav and things, but, you know, the times I've met her, she's very, very nice, and she's working hard. You know, she's a reality star, but she's got, reality show star, but she's opening this store, cookbook. You know, she's in the self-promotion
business. She had a shoe line for a while.
Yeah.
Now she's got the Uncommon James store in Nashville, which
fashion
is just sort
and
of
home goods and,
centered around.
And, you know, she knows how to take advantage of branding and everything, while Jay, you know, is retired and doing nothing. So he's just sitting there on the sidelines during the show, cracking wise. So the setup here is one of her girlfriends has started seeing a guy. They call him the Canadian because he's from Canada. They keep talking about like the difference in time zones and culture as if the guy's from New Zealand or he's from Canada.
Like he's an alien.
So they're having him over for dinner, right? It's going to be her girlfriend and the Canadian and Jay and Kristen. So this next little clip is the four of them just sitting at the dining room table having a giant piece of meat that I think Jay might have gotten himself, like bagged it, and some asparagus, and that's it. There's no for the dinner.
That's what they eat.
And now here's the Canadian talking about his life in Canada.
Matt, what do you do in old Canada?
I'm actually back in school right now for firefighting.
So how's it work up there?
It's like 24-hour shift. You're probably working two every 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of guys will do something else. They'll do real estate, they'll do landscaping, they'll do, you can kind of do your own gig. You got a lot of time in your hands.
I don't really do anything. It's kind of fun sometimes.
It's true.
I can see that, actually.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
He's just always kind of around.
I could definitely have fun doing nothing.
Okay, option A, you guys have a great weekend and never talk again.
Okay. What's option two?
Well, you guys tell us. These are your options.
You could come to Canada.
Oh.
You guys can go to Toronto or something.
Great.
That actually sounds perfect.
Kelly and Kristen take Toronto.
Yeah, that's
nice. I'll take Jay to the cottage.
I would
call them cabins.
Cabins. Yeah. Where's your
cottage?
It's like an hour north of where we live, so like probably an hour and a half.
Jay loves the Canadian now.
Whether this works out or not, I'm going off to be.
I just love it. The guy says his cabin's like an hour north of Toronto, and Jay's like, F, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Which doesn't mean anything. No, it's just like kind of messing with the guy. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
So wait, but, let's back up. Yeah. The premise of that whole thing was just they were trying to set up her friend with
this
the
guy,
Canadian,
the Canadian.
And
instead,
he fell in love with the Canadian. Seemed like Jay Cutler liked
the Canadian.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. He liked the Canadian better. So he's like, listen, you know, if you're going to bring this guy all the way to Nashville, you know, show him a little love. So that's the kind of action you get. It's completely silly, but it's really funny watching Jay cut. You know, just sort of on the sidelines, always smirking and cracking wise. And, you know, look, I guess it works. She, you know, she does all the, Kristen's doing all the work right now. And he's taking the kids. His big day usually is about 2 o'clock. I got to pick up the oldest one from school.
Right. Yeah. But he's sort of like just, what, is he like a foil or something? Because he doesn't really say much or do much. He doesn't like anybody. His own thing.
Yeah, he sits on the sidelines. He'll go to the store and like kind of give, you know, the employees a hard time and tell his wife, look, you got to get these guys in order. He comments on her, like when she goes out with her friends and she'll say, like, do you want to come with? He's like, no chance. And he's always in like flip flops, hunting gear, unshaven, and doing nothing. You know, we talk about a lot of these, you know, and look, they have no financial worries. Jay signed some huge contracts.
Right.
Kristen makes a lot of money. But, you know, most athletes, okay, he's retired now. Mm-hmm. He's in his mid-30s. He's a young man. Some of them say, well, I'm going to join the organization, player development. I'm going to become a coach. Others say, you know what, I'm going to give back to the community. I'm not saying he doesn't, but it's like, and others will say, you know, I think I'm going to do a different career. I want to become a broadcaster, do TV sports, or
you
even do something completely different. We've had ex-athletes
start
in Congress. Uh-huh. You know, Gerald Ford was an All-American football player, became the president of the United States. You do different things. He's not doing anything.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
But somehow it works. So they're getting a second season. They said
they have been renewed. It's been announced this week that the ratings kept going up from week to week. So this Sunday is the season finale of Very Cavallari. And then next year, 10 more episodes. I truly believe that the main reason it's getting this much buzz is because of people just fascinated watching Jay and kind of getting their opinions reinforced about him. He's the worst human being on the planet. You know, he seems to be a pretty good dad, pretty good husband. And who knows?
But we never got anything from color.
Exactly.
You got nothing. So I think for a lot of, like, the fact that I even watched a minute of this, I despise reality TV. I despise the E! Network. And I've watched probably half the episodes. I actually sat down and seeked out the show on a Sunday night. So I just wanted to see, like, the behind the curtain of Jay Cutler. And I guess you get a little bit of it. But when he was here in Chicago, it was nothing. He was like this
stone-faced
guy. And everything was whatever, no big deal. It's like, can you show us that you have an actual pulse and, like, you're a human being? Well, so I think it's kind of cool
to see behind the picture. That's exactly right. There's one moment in the last week's episode, last Sunday's episode, he's in some sort of garage man cave setup. There are literally baby chickens. There's beer. There's various, like, kind of, you know, outdoor rig equipment. I mean, it looks like the kind of place where you see a hoarder or someone who was arrested by authorities, you know, like
a lot of flannel,
hiding out from
a
reality.
Man on the run.
But I wonder if that has to do with the reason there was so much growth. Because when it started out, it sort of limped along, but now it's really grown. And I wonder if it's just that you've got your standard E, you know, female audience, their young female audience, but now you're intersected with maybe the bros and maybe
you definitely get the bros and the sports fans. I think, you know, I've been calling for more Cutler, but like you said, Rich, they know exactly what they're doing.
Exactly what they're doing. They pepper it in, they sprinkle it in.
And if there's more of them, it kind of waters it down a little bit. So as much as you want to see more Cutler, I think they're smart because their core audience really probably doesn't give a crap about
it. He's Kramer. When Kramer showed up on Seinfeld, you know?
Perfect. Yeah.
Oh, good. A Kramer. Yeah.
But here's the problem I have with it. I feel like at all the clips and when I read your column about it because it makes it fun and funny and you're a little snarky sometimes with it and it just makes it really interesting. But when I see these clips or hear them, like we just played one, there is nothing that surprises me about the way they live their lives.
No, it's
like
exactly.
The self-absorbed, vapid sort of talk about myself.
I think you're absolutely right.
When I just like, that's what I expected it to be. I'm not like surprised by anything. There's nothing shocking.
I think you're absolutely right, Anna. I think just the fact that we get to see Jay being exactly what we'd, you know, it would be.
We weren't sure.
It would be strange if, you know, like, if he was like, you know, making the kids lunches and dressed in a suit and tie and going out to do a million things and, you know, saying,
coaching Pee-wee.
Honey, I recorded last night's, you know, PBS special, you know, and being engaged and involved with the world. That would be, so yeah, it definitely serves to just reinforce our opinion. Like, okay, this is who this guy is. And he owns
it. He seems very comfortable being the guy he is. And the rest of it, yeah. I mean, there's all these subplots with her various best friends and employees. They're all insanely good looking, insanely thin, insanely Caucasian, and their problems are non, you know, it's all about whether or not this boyfriend's going to commit. Or the shipment didn't come in for the store. I mean, they have no. I'm sure in real life they do, but there's nothing approaching real problems for any of these people. It's like, oh, I got too drunk last night. I'm a little. I need an Advil.
Isn't that everyone's problems?
Sure. See, there you go.
Yeah. Do you watch it, Violetta?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're part of the core audience.
You can relate to what?
Well, and that's all, you know, what Anna mentioned too is like I think a ton of the successes of these reality shows is people watching the train wreck, whether it's, you know, going to the Kardashians or certainly
the
dating shows. Nobody thinks that The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are going to end up together. It's fun watching some male
train wrecks.
Bimbo reduced to tears after two televised dates with a dental hygienist who he's never going to talk to after the show is over and say, I didn't expect this to happen, but I really have fallen in love. And you're like, these people are idiots that make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Or the Real Housewives, you see like all the drama and they get into fights and everything and it gets, you know, the high intensity in that way. But this one doesn't seem like that. It just seems, you know.
Yeah, there's a little bit. There was an episode a couple of weeks ago where one of her girlfriends, who I think is, I want to say 24 years old, and listen, who knows if they already knew this in advance, but she finds out that she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the moment where she gets the, you know, the little tube thingy and sees that it's, what is it, blue, pink, whatever the deal is, takes the test again. And then we see the moment where she's like telling her family and her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, it's like, I can't imagine a universe in which anybody I know would want cameras recording the moment when you find out that you are pregnant and didn't plan it. You know, that's part of it too. But yeah, most of it's just silliness.
Yeah, it is. And I guess The Hills is going to be rebooted, but she's not going to participate, and Lauren Conrad's not going to participate either. So
then what's the point?
She's got her side thing.
Days.
I know. What is the point?
She's very Cavallari.
Anyway, we'll look for your column on the last season
finale. First thing Monday morning, baby. Suntimes.com. Pick up your Sun Times, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it next week.
We absolutely will. We're going to get to Judy's News, and then after Judy's News, we have some very special guests here promoting Jazz Fest in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Started years and years ago, and my, has it evolved. Now there are a bunch of festivals in the neighborhood that lead up to the official Grant Park Jazz Festival. We'll talk about that, and we're going to hear some of their beautiful jazz music.
Nice. Perfect for a Friday evening.
Isn't it what you need? Let's go right to Judy Pilak. Find out what's happening in the WGN News. That's what I needed on a Friday evening, just before you go home for the weekend. We are talking, this is the Rokan Show, Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper is here.
Hello.
We're talking about the 40th annual Jazz Fest here in Chicago at Grant Park. But this year it has expanded and there are a lot of exciting things going on that we want to tell you about.
Cool.
Here with us, a couple guests with us who are also going to perform for us, and we're looking forward to that. Margaret Murphy Webb and Curtis Robinson Jr. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
We're excited to hear you perform, but we also want to learn a little bit more about, there's some changes to Jazz Fest this year and some exciting things going on. Does it start this weekend, all the excitement? Tell us what we can expect.
I believe the excitement starts this week, doesn't it?
Yeah. August 24th.
Yes, because we're doing a pre-Jazz Fest concert on the 28th. The Southside Jazz Coalition. I'm the executive director of my little organization. And we're lucky enough that D-Case is helping us with the sponsorship and the Jazz Foundation of America to do a jam session in honor of Von Freeman, if you guys are familiar with Von Freeman.
Beautiful, beautiful. So the idea is like the Millennium Park Jazz Fest that everybody knows will be August 29th through September 2nd, but there's all these cool things kind of leading up to that, getting everybody, whet your appetite.
Yes.
It's amazing because we have so many great jazz musicians here and a long, rich history of producing them in this city.
Yes.
And it's fun to celebrate them. And I think some of the events this week leading up to the official Grant Park Millennium Park Festival that Richard just talked about are going to be in some of the neighborhoods.
Yes, so you know what? You should always take it to the neighborhoods because there's some people, especially now, that cannot get downtown.
Mm.
And I was talking to the beautiful Mary May from D-Case. And I used to be a police officer. And I was telling her about, I worked in Uptown for 22 years.
God bless.
And a lot of those people there love jazz, but there's no way they can get down to see the Jazz Fest. So I'm glad that everything's going to the neighborhood.
That's beautiful.
So love you're that. A fan of jazz. You're somebody who's been immersed in jazz your life. Mary, did you start going to the Jazz Fest with your family? And do you remember that?
No. As a matter of fact, I didn't even realize it was 40 years. I started going to the Jazz Festival, I think I was maybe in my 20s. And my first time at the Jazz Fest, I sang with Von Freeman.
Oh,
and that's when I started going to the Jazz Fest. And then after that, I was the officer who was locking people up at the Jazz Fest.
Oh, my gosh. That's another side of Jazz Fest. That's Margaret, not part of the promo. I don't see that on the PR material.
Did you ever combine the two and arrest somebody with a song? Yeah.
Well, I was...
Read them their rights. Like, yeah.
I was telling Mary that at the Blues Fest, I was singing with this group called Mississippi Heat. Uh-huh. And I tried to get the day off, and they wouldn't give it to me, so I called in sick.
Oh, jeez.
And I was at the Petrillo band shell standing in the front of my sergeant. Walked by and he stopped and he did a double take and I was trying to turn my head.
Oh my gosh.
So it wouldn't know it was me, but of course everyone knows my head. And the next day I said, oh, that was my sister. Yeah, she was.
Oh my gosh.
Not me, but you had to be there. That just shows what your passion is and what's in your heart. Curtis, what about you? Did you grow up going to Jazz Fest? Is it part of your life before you performed?
I got sidetracked.
Mm hmm. You were playing a different type of music, or what do you mean by when you say sidetracked?
I was supposed to be a football and baseball player.
Oh.
And after my first year of college, well, I can't tell you what the other guy said, but I said, man, I want to play. But I had already been doing it since I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
Nightclubs, all of that stuff. So by my first year after college, I'd already been playing professionally. For like 8 or 9 years.
Did you grow up in a musical family, Curtis?
Nobody played
Nobody.
Music.
Really?
Sports family?
No. Dad just went to his 9-to-5. Mom went to hers. Right. Come home. You better do your homework. I was fighting. Not on purpose. But, you know.
Yeah.
To learn what young what happens.
Getting prepared.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with that, I discovered music. And some friends walked by and said, man, you want to join a band? I said, okay. I had no idea what was involved.
Wow.
Yeah. You have to go learn this song, Well, I'm self-taught. So I was like, how do you learn a song? With a record. Okay.
Yeah. And so just played along by ear? You learned?
I figured it out. I heard something on the record.
Amazing.
And I look for it. I'm looking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to have a good ear to do that.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that at the time.
What were one of your first songs? Do you remember when you started just feel it?
Then you look for it. And I finally found it.
Man. Yeah, I was going to start singing. He jumped right in there.
After doing that for a number of years, and you start developing and then studying, reading this book, the universe will guide you to whatever you need.
Mm.
It guided me to this book.
Found you,
that kind of book. Next thing I know, they made me the guitar instructor my first year of college.
Oh, my gosh. Said, well, you had a gift, you can tell. I don't know how
but you worked
teach
hard
themselves,
too. It's a combination.
And you worked hard.
You can have a gift, but if you don't
apply
address that gift, it won't develop by itself.
Absolutely.
I tried that too. I just laid there, Lord, just give me all of this. I said, sure,
but well, it don't Curtis, work. When was your first time at the Jazz Fest? Because I can remember what year. How old were you?
I remember going as a kid. I just loved it. But
we did. We worked as artists in residence with Ken Chaney, Eugene Eastman, Marvin Sparks on drums, L.D. Young on bass. And I said, Ken, I got an idea. Why don't we do a jazz festival and get the city to sponsor it? That's how the Jazz Festival started, with that idea. We did a tribute to John Coltrane and
Duke Ellington.
Wes Montgomery.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then the next time around, it was John Coltrane and somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, we got the Jazz Festival. So I'm thinking that's in the early 80s.
Tell us about performing at Jazz Fest, because I know one of the things I always hear from musicians in Chicago is that Chicagoans are a great audience and that people just love. It's a free festival. It's amazing that our city does this and you figure it out and thousands of people come and they enjoy jazz music. Talk about performing here in Chicago, what that's like.
I love that. But people will come anywhere where it's free. But that is also...
That's kind of true, isn't it? Free, I'm there.
But that is also special about Chicago. And Chicago has a flavor. Midwest has a certain flavor. East, West, they all have their flavors.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They're all good at different times.
Mm.
Here, you'll hear a variety of music, a variety of artists with different approaches. And a lot of people that go to New York are from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So it's not just New York.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Now, with that said, there are so many talented people here.
Yeah.
So you
no question.
Better be serious.
You better be good if you're going to get up there.
Good is not enough now.
Great.
Ooh, you better come with it. And you better know, Margaret and I were talking about it. Somebody said to her, why don't you do the song in the original key? There's no such thing. There's a key that the song was written in, then there's the key that she sings it in.
Mm-hmm.
You play it where she sings it.
Margaret, what about you? Favorite onstage moment? Do you have any? Do you have one in particular, a couple of them here at Jazz Fest?
I think that one of my favorite moments was when I was able, the last time that I performed with Von Freeman at the Jazz Festival. That was phenomenal. It was. I'm so thankful to him because I've been able to work pretty much every stage in the city.
Wow.
Because of Von, you know, the Green Mill and the jazz. Wow.
Great venue.
The jazz showcase. I mean, favorite place.
There you go.
Well, we're happy you're here too, and you're our favorites right now. We'd like to. Could you perform for us a song here, and then we were going to take a break after that, and if perhaps you stick around with us to continue.
Yes, thank you.
All right. What do you want to play?
Let's start with Von Freeman taught me that. No self-respecting jazz singer can sing without doing Billie Holiday. Mm. So let's do Them Their Eyes, covered by the beautiful Billie Holiday. In G. With you the first time I looked into them their eyes. You had a certain little cute way of flirting with them their eyes. They make me feel so happy. Ooh, I'm feeling blue. No stalling, I'm falling in a great big way for you. My heart is thumping, you started something, baby, with them eyes. You better watch out, little brown eyes, if you're wise. They sparkle, they bubble, they're gonna get you in a whole lot of trouble. Baby, baby, them their eyes.
You've been listening to Margaret Murphy Webb and Curtis Robinson Jr. of the Chuck Webb Band featuring Margaret Murphy Webb. You can see them on stage at the 40th Annual Chicago Jazz Fest running from August 24th to September 2nd, Millennium Park, the Chicago Cultural Center. And this year, they're expanding to appear at venues all across the city. There are different jazz acts and performers you'll be able to check out in the neighborhoods of Chicago. You guys are incredible. Margaret, you ever miss your police work? You look back.
Oh, now, girl, now, come on now. Come on. You know what? Actually, it took me, I retired in 2016, and it took me about a year to stop looking at license plates. My husband, I used to drive him crazy. I said, that plate is expired. He said, please, let it go.
Oh,
let it go.
Well, you let it go, and you found your passion. That sure was always there, but you didn't have as much time.
Yes, music kept me sane while I was working as the police.
Well, God bless you on both fronts. Can you stick around with us just here? We're going to take a little break.
Yes, ma'am.
We'll
thank you.
We appreciate it. We're going to check in with Violetta Podramatic. Take a look at your traffic trouble spots on this Friday evening. This is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper is here, and we have two very talented musicians here with us, representing the 40th Annual Chicago Jazz Fest, Margaret Murphy Webb and Curtis Robinson Jr. You both are so good. Thank you for sharing your talents with us.
Thank you so much.
This is what I needed today. There has been a stressful week in the news, and just, boy, it's just medicine for the soul.
As my friend Charlotte says, we gave you a treat instead of a treatment.
Thank you.
And I appreciate it. It's interesting because one of the things that's going to be happening at Jazz Fest this year, again, it's running in Millennium Park, as it usually does, but it's also making its way into the neighborhoods. So all week long, you can enjoy just the best jazz musicians in the world leading up to the weekend, which we're used to going to. But this year is special because the legendary Ramsey Lewis, a Chicagoan and somebody who's introduced us, many of us, to jazz over the years. If you grew up here, you certainly know his name and you know his music and you love him. He says this will be his last time performing in his hometown at Jazz Fest this year. And Curtis, you have a connection with him.
Yes. Well, actually, the connection is, the more I think about it, is really beautiful. L.D. Young, Red Hope, and Ramsey Lewis was the original trio.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to travel the world with each one of these men because I'm, you know, playing guitar. And it just worked with that unit. And when I got the call for Ramsey, there were no charts, no rehearsals. Wow. Chuck and Mike Logan gave me pieces of tapes with different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I just listened to it, wrote it out. No rehearsals. Get to sound check. Don't play that. Okay. Don't play that. Okay. This is Ramsey talking. Don't play that. Okay. Go to the dressing room. Come down. Curtis. Yeah? If you hear something in the music, play it. If you don't hear it, don't play it. Okay.
Okay.
We get on the stage.
Wow.
We play. Get off stage. Ramsey jumps up. So you the... that they told me about, and you got the nerve to come in here playing. Now I was sort of like officially in the group.
Wow.
Ramsey sits with his back to the guitar player, whoever's in that chair. And if he turns that way, you'll see his left eye. If he turns that way, you see the right. So you better pay attention.
Intimidating.
And you don't have time to be intimidated. You got to play. You get scared.
You got to be in that moment.
So you never know what song he's going to call. He'll play an introduction, or he'll jump up and say, play a ballad, and walk off. 50,000 people out there.
Wow.
You don't have time to figure out what you're going to play. So I used to just, what we call, noodle around, and then Spirit would say, yeah, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it.
It's one of the great things about jazz, I think, as a fan or an audience member, is that there's so much improvisation. You have to be ready for anything.
Yes, you
sort of let it flow, and that's one of the things that's so cool about it. You can hear the same song twice, three times, four times. Mm-hmm. It doesn't...
And it's different.
And it sounds different.
Yeah. Yes.
How do you deal with that as a musician? Is that part of the fun?
Well, you know, for a vocalist...
That's hard.
Musicians like to play with vocalists, especially when I was a young vocalist and I didn't know what I was doing. You'd be singing something.
Like to throw some stuff.
Yeah, and they would just change the key. But I had a wonderful keyboardist, Fred Rakestraw, who worked with me. And I would be singing and he would just change keys. And he pretty much taught me how to listen. You have to listen.
Mm.
So now... I got a good ear.
There you go.
So
you
throw it. Throw it at me, Curtis. I'm ready, baby.
Throw it at us all right now. What do you want to play? You got another one for us?
We would like to do a ballad, beautiful ballad. Mm. I was going to do it when I thought my husband was coming because we usually do this together.
Oh,
called
how
my,
sweet.
My Romance. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Beautiful. Do you guys know this one?
I don't. You know my Yes, from Richard.
My romance doesn't need to have a moon in the sky. My romance doesn't need a blue lagoon standing by. No month of May, no twinkling stars, no hideaway, no soft guitar. My romance doesn't need to have a castle high in space or a dance to a constantly surprising refrain. Wide awake, I can make my most fantastic dreams come true. My romance doesn't need a thing but you.
Jr. of the Chuck Webb Band featuring Margaret Murphy Webb. That was beautiful.
Gorgeous. Thank you.
Oh, exactly what we needed. Their 40th Annual Jazz Fest is coming up August 24th, September 2nd, Millennium Park, the Chicago Cultural Center, and at neighborhood venues across the neighborhoods in our beautiful city. Where can we see you? Just if people would like to find you during this Jazz Fest week.
If you'd like to eat, I am at Benny's Chop House every Saturday night.
Oh, who doesn't like to eat?
From 7 to 11. Yeah. Those steak sliders, baby, those are the bomb.
Good food and some amazing music. Put it together. And then the Chuck Webb Band will be playing at Jazz Fest at Grant Park or Millennium
September,
Park?
Yes, at September the 1st on the Heritage Stage at 1 o'clock.
Very nice. Check out Jazz Fest, and you can see Margaret Murphy Webb. Curtis Robinson Jr., the Chuck Webb Band, we appreciate you coming by.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Made our weekend. Thank you. And thank you for joining us, everybody listening. Have a good weekend. We're back Monday.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Hit it, sweetheart.